All right, let's begin again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Woo! 1, 2, 3, Circle sucks. 4, 5, 6, Mike's gay.
Kevin, Bean, Lisa, Kevin, Bean, shut up, Bean.
Hi, Mike.
You think it's going well?
No.
I hate Psycho Mike. Hate.
And now.
Psycho Mike is a loser. Like, who put him on the air? Nobody thinks he's funny. He sucks, big fat
dodo. Our feature presentation.
Morning, Armenian comedian.
What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, I've been having a lot of phone calls by the cellular phone, and you're going to pay my bill, Kevin. Why you give it on the air? Did you have my permission?
I believe you gave it on the air, my friend.
Yes, no. You did.
No.
Wait, let me just check. Let me just double check. Is it 818? 843.
That's the one, my home number.
4013, is it that one?
No.
That's not
that
it?
One. No.
All right, which one are you talking about then?
7950076. It's my cellular phone. People have been calling me.
Wait a minute. So it's 8-1.
I'm having my minutes being counted down, and I'm having a bill. You're going to pay for it, Kevin.
I'm not positive which one you're talking about, Sam. Is it? That's the 7950076 number.
Yeah, that's my cellular phone.
Your cellular phone.
Why you keep that the way, man? You know, the whole weekend I had to cancel my phone.
You had to what? Cancel it?
Yes.
Well, do you have a new number yet?
No.
All right, let us know when you get it so we can give it out.
Kevin, you're paying my bill.
Absolutely. Send it on over.
Kevin and Bean, you're paying my bill.
Right. Got it.
Because
I... Well, wait a minute, Sam. Which one are we paying? Is it the 843-4013?
No.
It isn't. It's the 7950076.
Huh?
All right. Just want to clarify.
Listen.
818 area code.
No.
No, not the 818. So confused. What number is it?
Sam, what are people saying when they call you? What kinds of conversations have you been having with our listeners?
They love me and they hate me at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's us too.
Yeah.
But we love you a lot lately, Sam. I mean, we're big fans. You've been on fire.
When I'm going to do the mother shootings.
Whoa. When you're going to do the mother shootings?
Model
shootings.
Yeah. What's going on with the photo shoot cycle, Mike? Sam, what do you know about that?
From what I understand, it was you that's delaying it, not us.
Is there some delay that we need to know about, Sam?
Yeah, listen, what I'm saying is right now, who's going to pay my bills?
Right, but what we're saying is there a delay on the photo shoot? Let's go ahead and just clarify that one.
Well, right now, Erica, she's going to be in contact with you guys.
Okay.
Because she's the one handling with the models. She's my agent.
Right, and then...
she's the one who canceled, though. She's the one who pulled out, right? Isn't that the problem?
The problem was we had crisscross. I had to take my wife to the doctor checkup that the same day.
Oh, okay. Know? I got you. So just reschedule. That's all.
Now, yeah, we did already. We're trying to reschedule. But why crying out loud?
Okay.
Why are you giving my cellular phone on the air?
First of all, it's not a celery phone. It's never been a celery phone. It's just a cell phone.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But my minutes are... being calmed down.
Sam,
well,
the minutes...
you shouldn't talk so much then.
The minutes on 818-795-0076.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll stop giving that out.
Okay. Well, who's going to... if I have a lot of bills, you guys going to end up paying for it.
We're going to pay all your bills, Sam. That's going to happen. Yes. Send them all over.
Thank you, Kevin.
To lightning@krock.com.
Lightning?
Yep. He's our bill payer.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's not.
He is.
Well, it's up to you then. If you don't want it paid, don't send it to him.
He doesn't work for you guys.
He does. He works.
Of course he does.
He's still on the station.
What is wrong with you, Sam?
Yeah, you got to trust us on this.
I'll have him call you back. You want me to have him call you back at 818-843-4013 or the 0076 number?
No, none of them.
None of them. You don't want him to call you back?
No.
Well, how's he supposed to pay your bills?
you guys paying for.
All right. We'll call you back. Which number?
843-4013. That's okay, but don't give my cellular phone number.
So you're saying, wait a minute, you're saying it's all right if your home phone number is given out.
It's the minutes on his celery phone.
Just not your celery phone.
That's what he's worried about. Okay. We got it, Tim. All right. Thanks for calling, dude. We got to go.
Hey, another thing.
Yeah.
I want to tell a joke about elections.
We would love that. And yet, we got to move on.
Okay. I tell you what, that joke, and I'm going to hang up.
Okay. All right.
Don't vote Obama banana because he's made the black cops after my ass.
Well done.
And then,
another flawless performance.
Not then. Gotta go. Thank you for calling. I'm glad.
Bye, Sam.
Glad that we were able to clarify that first thing this morning.
Absolutely.
That was a very powerful joke, too. Very powerful. That's the type of thing that could influence an election.
Very powerful and well told.
And I have no idea what he said. Something about his ass.
I think that's our favorite thing about him is not just that he can't tell a joke, but that we can't, for the life of us, understand where it was going.
No, it's not like
we recognize it, right?
Can't even guess. I heard black. I did hear that. It was an Obama joke, and I think I heard banana, but I'm not sure.
You're right. You did.
I don't know. All right, what's happening, everybody? It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 14th of June. Like it in the ass.
I love her. I wouldn't enter her in any way that's unnatural.
I'd like to say that's how we should start every show. 5:30, Armenian comedian.
Yes, that was well worth it.
He was fired up today, wasn't he? You know, he was watching the clock, waiting for us to start.
Yes, he was. Clearly. He was on hold when we began.
What is he doing awake?
Smoking.
Really? Sam, though, of all people, he never, you know?
Yeah, that's true. He's always later in the morning. That's true. I don't know what he's doing up.
He must be really mad.
I guess.
He's got a lot of phone calls this weekend.
He is not.
You get a phone call on your celery phone, you have to answer.
You do. You have to answer, and you have to talk. You have to talk as long as the other person wants.
Yes, that is the rule.
That's the bizarre thing. I need a celery phone.
Yeah, I do too.
I really like celery. Haven't had that in a while. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Gerard Way.
No way.
No way.
Lead singer of My Chemical Romance has a comic book series, The Umbrella Academy. We'll be talking to him today in the 7 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm.
And I guess he'll be telling us how the Black Parade is dead, too.
That's correct. Let's see here. Who's a 10? We always talk about the looks of people, and you got a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
And and anytime somebody describes, you know, where somebody lies on that scale, they never say, she's a 10.
Mm-mm.
It's always 9.
And if you have a scale that's meaningful, a 9 has to be in relation to a 10.
If there's no 10.
In other words, a 9 can't exist on its own.
Right.
There have to be other numbers around it that give you some idea of where you're placing that person in the pantheon of beauty. So who's the 10 on that scale that you're calling this person a 7 or an 8 or a 9? That's what we're trying to figure out.
Well, I'm not going to name names, but there are certain people on this show who are unbelievably critical of women. And
sure.
That is why there's never a 10, because there's always something that's wrong with them.
Well, that's true. And just so that we're all on the same page, we know that on that same scale, we're down around the 1-2 area.
True.
We're all right with that.
All right.
But that's not even relevant to where we are, because we're not the ones being rated. But
thank
I
God.
Will say that if there is no 10, then your 9 becomes the best there is.
Right. So is your 9 a 10 then?
It would have to be.
So then,
I think there are tens as long as you never meet them.
That has a lot to do with it.
Because
unfortunately,
nobody's perfect.
That's
nobody's
true.
Perfect.
That's
if you
true.
Put in their personality and their looks, there's something's going to be wrong.
Well,
so they can't be a 10 if you really know them.
The main problem with people who are super attractive is they've never really had to work on their
personality
much at all.
That is often the problem.
Those of us at the one area got to work on the personality so people like you.
Right.
But when you run into somebody, and we've been lucky enough on the many years we've been doing this program to meet some of these people who are potential 10s, and I'll give an example of Cindy Crawford, say,
sure.
who has the personality that goes with those looks, has the sense of humor, and is just a fun, you know, fun person. How is she not a 10?
I don't know. Have you guys ever said she was a 10, though?
Probably not.
We've never tried to zero in on that number.
All right. Well, this will be an interesting discussion.
Can you pick more than one 10?
Sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Suck it.
All right.
Charlie Sarin might have to be right up there.
Also on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we have to talk about the attack that is the word black hole. I don't know if you've heard this.
Oh, my God.
This is the silliest.
I love this guy.
This is the silliest story I've ever seen in my life.
You would think it was something from The Onion.
Yes. You would.
Honestly, you would not believe this is for real.
It's a is it a Houston city council person?
I think
is
so.
That what it is? Yeah, and somebody was talking about paperwork in the government there and said that it's just disappearing into a black hole. And the guy, and we'll play the audio for you later. The guy in the meeting says, "Hold on a sec, you can't be in a meeting like this and say black hole. What are you talking about? That's racist.
Why the hole got to be black?
Why the hole got to be black?" And the dude, I read about it over the weekend, by the way. And the dude who said it just looked at him and said, "It's a science term. It's a, you know, it's a reference to a place in space where things disappear and are never heard from again. That's all it is in reference to." And the guy was not satisfied. He went on to talk about
why can't it be a white hole?
Had he never heard of black holes?
I don't know.
Okay.
Why is it angel food cake got to be white? Devil food cake got to be dark.
He
went on to say.
I was curious. Could I hear Lisa's version of the city councilman one more time?
Why the hole got to be black?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to need that.
I'm sorry I did that.
All right.
I'm embarrassed that I did that.
All right.
I did a bad thing.
And if you missed the retarded policeman
on
Friday, it is perhaps the best thing on the internet.
He's so funny.
That's a 10 on our scale of 1 to 10 on the internet.
Yeah.
Danny needs a new pair of shoes and a gold watch and some hookers.
There's our boy right there. There's the pods man.
The highlights of that coming up just after 6 o'clock this morning.
By the way, all this week, including this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up very soon, we are sending you to see The Dark Knight. This is one of the obscure comic book characters, but these days, you know, they're making everything into comic books. You know, you got the Iron Man this year and the Hellboy. Now there's this character called Batman, I guess, that they're trying to push on us. But it's coming out with Christian Bale, and we'll have tickets for you all week long on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the day on the World Famous K-Rock, so stick around for that. Hey,
guy,
Ralph Garman.
Guy dresses like a bat.
Yeah, I know, it's so lame. I know, right.
I watched Batman Begins again over the weekend.
Did you?
Just to get in the mood.
Did you?
That's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I hear this one's better.
But you know what? He does. He wears a bat suit.
Really? Never been a big fan of the origin movies when it comes to these superhero movies, because you kind of have to slog through a good hour or so to get to the cool part when they put the costume on and become the hero.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to this one, because now he's full-blown Batman. He's in gear. It's Joker and all the classic characters. So we'll really get sort of into the swing of the story, I think, this time around. Spent a little time, too much time in the mountains for me last movie.
No, that's right.
Get the blue flower and bring that to me here and here, smoke some ashes and then, okay, we get it. It's all very mystical. Go to Gotham City now.
Start kicking some ass.
Jeez.
I'm going to follow Kevin's lead and see some Batman Begins this week. I think I need a primer as well for this this new version of this story. But what happened to his girlfriend Katie Holmes, by the way? Did they address
that? She
turned
into Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, or is it supposed to? Is she playing the same girlfriend or is it a new girlfriend?
Rachel Dawes, same character.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, same character.
That's got to hurt.
Different actress, same character.
But at the end of the movie, they kiss, and then she says, "Well, can't be if you're going to be Batman." And they just turn and split.
Right, but she's still DA in Gotham City. They'll still be running into each other. They'll have an unrequited love. And she starts dating District Attorney candidate Harvey Dent in this second film.
Ah.
Who later on becomes Two-Face, the villain Two-Face, who's half scarred. Tommy Lee Jones played him in Batman Forever. Remember?
How about that?
Yeah.
Character. So, a lot going on in this movie.
No kidding.
You're going to want to check it out. Speaking of comic book movies, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, number one movie at the box office this weekend, made $36 million in its debut weekend. Burned the competition.
Hey!
Gave them a devil of a time.
Uh-oh.
Woo! Happy Monday.
No, you didn't.
Hancock was number two at the box office, made $33 million. Bean saw a movie that didn't involve a Swedish milkman?
Wait a minute. You saw Hancock? That's the opposite of the type of movie you like.
You know how it is. It's hot. It's summer. There's very little to choose from. I mean, let's face it. Not a lot of good movies available in theater right now. Hancock looked like the best of the bunch.
So you rent a bunch of horrible movies and then come in and go,
I did that too. I saw a bunch of stuff on DVD over the weekend, but I also made some time to go see Hancock. And you know, I couldn't agree with Ralph more about how entertaining Jason Bateman is. Every second he's on the screen, that guy is a joy to watch.
Yeah.
Well, Ralph didn't say a joy to watch, but...
No.
Well, you know...
Here's a joy to watch!
Is he fabulous?
And a vision to behold!
And it's a shame Charlize isn't hotter. That's all I have to say about her.
Cricket.
Yeah.
Suck it!
And Will Smith, always great. So it's hard to go wrong with a movie with those three in it.
The faintest praise I've ever heard for a movie that someone liked.
It's hard to go wrong with it. Didn't like it, but I didn't go wrong with it. Right. It was a joy to behold.
What a fruit loop. Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D was number third at the box office. What? Number's number three at the box office this weekend, $21 million. WALL-E, still hanging in there in the top five, was number four. Wanted was number five. Get Smart came in at number six. Then Meet Dave. Oh, meet me. Come see me. Live in my head.
It's not for you.
Was seventh at the box office. Kung Fu Panda, number eight. Kit Kittredge and American Girls, number nine. And Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, was number ten. Well, finally, onto them a baby came. Two babies, actually. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie over the weekend finally had the world's most anticipated twins. A boy and a girl. Knox is the boy.
Knox.
And Vivian is the girl.
Huh.
Knox.
Both of them weighing in around 5 pounds. Apparently, mom is doing fine, and they were there in Nice, France at the hospital. That's where she had them, and outside, three wise men brought some frankincense and some myrrh and some gold, and everyone followed the star to Nice, and now we can all bow down and buy OK Magazine and worship at their pictures.
Has anyone ever been named Knox before? Is that a name anyone has ever heard of?
I never have.
I know Terrence Knox. Here's an actor named Terrence Knox.
I know Knoxville.
K-N-O-X, right?
K-N-O-X, right. Yes. You're listening to K-O-N-X. I know, yeah, last name I've heard the name Knox, but yeah. I've never heard the first name Knox.
A little bit of a surprise to me. Knox Leon is his name, which is
excellent.
Odd. Fort Knox.
Sure,
I've there's that. Yeah.
First name Fort, last name Knox.
Maybe both of those places were named after some sort of Tennessee hero.
I think
Knox.
One of the characters in Fastlane was named Knox.
Really?
Knox and Gleef, I think, were the two guys, two cops on that show.
Who was the good guy? Who was the bad guy? I can't remember.
They're both good.
Both good, all right.
Congratulations to Taboo. Taboo. Taboo is on fire. The Black Eyed Peas, he got married on Saturday. Apparently, Will.i.am was one of his groomsmen. And the whole band showed up. Fergie and Josh Duhamel also were there.
Why has it got to be the Black Eyed Peas?
Nicely done.
See what you did there?
Why the whole gotta be black?
Yeah, why indeed. And sad relationship news in the world of music. Apparently 45-year-old Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers has broken up with his 22-year-old girlfriend, Heather
Bye.
Christie.
Yeah. Too old?
Yeah, she's got a little long of the tooth for Anthony. They have a 9-month-old son.
Oh,
that's nice.
His name? Did you know what his name is?
I don't remember.
No.
Everly Bear Kiedis. That's B-E-A-R, by the way, his middle name is in R. Bear.
So you know that Anthony named him?
Everly.
Yeah.
I'm guessing after the Everly Brothers, the musical act.
Anthony, what went on with that?
How skipped out of Sassafras' Schmackadoo?
All right.
Are you broken up about the relationship ending? I mean, she
green
is...
Green tea, moonflower, wakadakadang, California.
Yeah.
Sure. I can see that.
Yeah. It's hard when people try to cash in on your name and they stab you in the back and they take advantage of you. It's harder when it's a family member, I think.
Uh-oh.
Madonna's brother, Christopher Ciccone, has written a tell-all book about his relationship with his sister Madonna. Apparently, he is unveiling lots of juicy tidbits about her life, including the fact that Warren Beatty was so jealous when they were dating that he used to go through her trash cans at 3 a.m. because he was convinced she was cheating.
This Christopher, I used to hear about, but not so much in recent years. Is he estranged from his sister? Do they still have
a relationship? No, they have a great relationship.
Yeah, they're very close.
The kiss on the lips.
That's why he's throwing her under the bus by writing this book.
I don't know family members. I don't know families that have people like that would write a tell-all about you. You know what I mean? Like,
well, consider yourself lucky, my friend.
Doesn't it seem like it's just...
There's a lot of dysfunctional families
awful.
Out there.
Yes, but...
And then when one of those people becomes famous, I think it makes them even more dysfunctional. Because then you get into issues of jealousy and money and envy and all kinds of ugly emotions come to the surface. And people act out in the strangest ways, which I think is very sad. And speaking of acting out, will someone take the camera away from Miley Cyrus, please?
What do you mean?
This weekend, another set of racy photographs surfaced on the internet. This girl cannot just not take her clothes off for someone with a camera.
Thank God.
Come on.
The 15-year-old has another set of questionable photographs just showed up on
How
the
questionable.
Internet.
Questionable.
One where she's taking a shower with a wet T-shirt on.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh, easy. another one, she's got her shirt lifted up to almost boobage level, and she's blowing a kiss to the camera.
Yeah.
Another, she's wearing a necklace that reads Nick J., which we assume means Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers. But every time there's a camera on, this girl has to just whore it up.
Ooh.
Just stop it. Just someone take a camera away from her. She's got an addiction.
You would think
it's not booze or alcohol. She can't stop being a whore in front of the lens.
How about some teenagers?
All right, Rodney, for God's sakes.
You would think they would sit her down and go, stop taking these pictures. You're 15.
Look, it's the fourth go-round we've had now with this. This is the fourth set of racing pictures that have shown up on the internet regarding
in how many months?
In less than a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's plenty.
It's almost a matter of time before they are nude and sex photos, by the way. She's definitely headed in that direction.
Don't make it so.
How about
she's
the
only
whore?
15. She's only
that's
15.
What I'm saying. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, look at the way she's going. It seems like she gets some sort of a charge out of doing it. She must. Although, who
maybe
took these
be
pictures?
Carcella next year.
It's not Carcella.
Who took these pictures, you're asking?
Yeah. They're saying they came from her cell phone camera. Right. Someone hacked her cell phone camera. Who are these people?
No, but who's taking pictures of her in the shower in a wet t-shirt is what I want to know.
I don't know, sir. I do not know. Maybe it was Miss Universe.
I hope.
That was a pathetic segue to get to my next story. Here is the congratulations for Miss Universe. She got crowned over the weekend. I don't know if you heard it or not. Miss Venezuela.
Ay, ay, ay.
Diana Mendoza.
Great knockers.
Smoothies! Very attractive 22-year-old girl from Venezuela.
Great knockers.
She was crowned this weekend in Vietnam. What a place to
have a... What?
What a place to have a beauty pageant, huh?
That's interesting.
Everybody,
choice.
Let's go to Nam. She was said after she won the award that they commented on her poise, and she said, yes, it was her kidnapping in her homeland when she was a young girl that allowed her to remain poised under pressure. So see, there's a silver lining to every cloud.
She was kidnapped.
I'm so glad I was kidnapped and tortured as a youth because that prepared me for the Miss Universe competition.
Boobs.
Priorities. Priorities. And lastly, Heidi
Wish
Klum.
I was kidnapped. That would have been good.
Well, there's still hope, Kevin.
All right.
Heidi Klum is a brave broad. She tells OK Magazine while she was filming a documentary for the Discovery Channel, she went into the water with 45 sharks in the Bahamas.
What?
You know, the cage?
No. She swam with 45 sharks in the area while she was filming this documentary for Discovery Channel. She said the scary escapade was a good experience and made her a stronger person, and she probably wouldn't do it again, but she's glad she went through it. Hmm. And I was thinking, Heidi Klum's in there swimming with 45 sharks in the Bahamas. Remember Tyra Banks?
Yes.
She wouldn't get into a swimming pool with a dolphin.
She was definitely afraid of dolphins.
That's F right. You, Tyra Banks. Can't get into 4 feet of water with a freaking dolphin. Heidi Klum is swimming with 45 sharks in the Bahamas.
Isn't that insane?
In their hood.
Was that not crazy?
You suck.
Yeah, she sucks.
Just another of the many reasons. You suck.
I know we're always told that sharks do not prefer to eat people and that it's relatively safe. I don't know that I still care to risk it.
I'm pretty positive on that. I'm good not risking it.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I don't want to catch any shark on a bad day.
Yeah, exactly.
Even a little one. They F you up. Wouldn't swim with a dolphin. Tyra Banks wouldn't swim with a dolphin.
Well, you forget.
As far as I know, has never F'd anybody up.
You forget that she made her guests on the show do the things that they were afraid of, and then she didn't do it. At the end of the show, when she was supposed to do it, she didn't.
By the way, that's congratulations to Tyra Banks, who won the Daytime Emmy for Best Informative Talk Show.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah, that's
seriously.
Right. That's what I said out loud.
Did you say
I just said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
Word. She won an Emmy.
Daytime mm-hmm. Emmy. For
she did.
Best Informative Daytime Talk Show.
What does that mean, informative?
That deals with issues. It's not celebrity interview driven. It deals with the issues that matter to people.
And who else does that?
I don't know. Maury.
Maury does that.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
She didn't get it. That's stupid.
She won an Emmy.
She didn't win an Emmy.
She won an Emmy.
She did not win an Emmy.
All right. I saw the show. Saw her on stage accepting it.
What is wrong?
It's a bad world. We live in a bad world.
With her big weave.
We live in a bad world.
I think she's bald now, by the way.
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
They showed clips of her, one of her shows. One of the ones for Emmy consideration that they put into the running. Of her sitting around with a bunch of chicks in body suits. Like big fat girls just wearing like flesh-colored body suits.
Yeah.
And she would make them look into the mirror and tell her what she saw. Everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was horrific. It was horrible on every level.
Fat chicks need love too, but they gotta pay.
She'd say, but look at me, I'm a supermodel. I'm
well,
hot.
Of course she is. And I put on the suit as well in solidarity for my sisters.
Oh.
So she's sitting there in her supermodel glory while these really obese fat women are wearing like these spandex bodysuits that show every wrinkle and roll on their bodies and all looking in the
mirror. I could not hate her more.
She's a bad human being.
Wow.
Will you embrace my big fat ass?
No.
She did not win.
I like
win
to
an
kick
Emmy.
Your big fat ass. I like to take your Emmy and then stick it.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Vincent Pastore. You know him as Big Pussy on The Sopranos. He's 62 years old today. Taboo. We were just talking about him from Black Eyed Peas. Celebrated his wedding over the weekend. Celebrates his birthday today. 33 years old today. Matthew Fox of Lost turns 42. Kyle Gass, our buddy from Tenacious D. KG.
How about that?
Turns 48 years old today. And Adam Levine. Adam Levine? Which is it, Levine or Levine? Kevin, you know, because you love Maroon 5. Which
I don't
is
know.
It? Is it Levine or Levine?
I don't know, dude.
How do you not know?
Me? How do
you
I not know?
You love Maroon 5. You're always asking us to give some love to Maroon 5, aren't you?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
So should we give it to Adam Levine or Adam Levine?
Both.
Who should we give it to?
Give
just
it
to be
both.
Sure, we should
Adam
give it
Levine,
to him both?
Levine.
Yes.
Okay.
Bastard.
He's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And you're pretty smart for a retard.
You know, I'm a little bit surprised, frankly. Maybe you are too, Kevin, that Michael Jackson is still alive.
Yeah, yeah.
The way he has been deteriorating in recent years, and these most current photos of him at a Las Vegas bookstore, at a Barnes & Noble store in Las Vegas, wait till you hear what he was wearing. I believe we have the great Mikey on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Mike.
Whoa. Jam on.
Wow, what happened?
What happened to your energy, dude?
Sound rough, dude.
It's all matter, black or white.
What's going on?
Billie Jean is not my
love. Michael, there's a story about you in Las Vegas at a bookstore.
Yes.
And there's a photographer named Mike Lopez who told the New York Daily News that you looked completely frail. You showed up at the bookstore with Prince 1, Paris, and Prince 2.
Yes, all the princes were there.
You arrived in pajamas.
Yes.
You had a surgical mask over your face.
Yes.
A black scarf.
Yes.
A marine baseball cap.
Yes.
And you were being pushed in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a good look for you, huh?
Because I was going to a marine base where I was going to operate on a sleeping patient who needed a black scarfectomy.
I'm not sure what that means.
He's trying to tie all the things together.
Yeah. Justify what he was wearing, yeah. Right. First of all, the Marines should rip that cap off your head. No one should be allowed to wear a U.S. Marine Corps hat less than you, Michael Jackson.
I'll have you know I was a Marine.
You were not a Marine.
No. I was. Semper Fi.
That's blasphemy.
I fought in the...
Which war?
Jackson Osman War.
Yeah. That was a long, bitter war.
And we took on the Osmonds.
That's right. Yeah. Michael, what about the wheelchair? This isn't the first time we've seen you in a wheelchair. I think you showed up at an MMA fight, didn't you, recently,
yes.
And also in a wheelchair. What's that about?
Well, it turns out that doctors have told me that many years of walking on the moon have damaged my legs.
You did the moonwalk. You didn't walk on the moon. Very different.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not really.
I should go back, get a second opinion.
You should probably, yeah.
Can you walk?
I'm not sure. I haven't tried in years.
So you just have people push you around now full time?
It's easier for me.
Yeah?
And
yeah.
It's easier for them. Okay, it's not easier for them. It's basically just easier for me.
Now, this dude that took the pictures, Mike Lopez, he also says that your skin was peeling.
Yes, well, it's that time of year when I molt.
That seems bad.
I wasn't once aware you had a time.
Yeah, once a year I shed my skin.
Right.
And because I outgrow it.
Yeah.
And then I grow a new skin.
I see.
Before I lay my egg.
You know
I can dislocate my jaw and eat food twice my own size.
Is that right? Really? That's you that does that?
Yeah.
How about that?
I wrap myself around my prey and squeeze until they suffocate.
I don't think
then
that's
I
you.
Then I dislocate my jaw and I swallow them whole and digest them somewhere in the length of my body.
You're not thinking of maybe an anaconda or one of those big snakes instead you're talking about?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, that's not me. That's a snake.
You watch too much like Discovery you. Channel?
I want to... never mind.
What's your problem,
Michael? What? You want to what?
I was going to say I want to F you like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, don't say that.
But well. I don't really want to.
I'm sorry.
All right, let me ask you one more thing. let me ask you one more thing about this. Besides your bizarre appearance, your kids were at the Barnes & Noble in Las Vegas with you. Is that correct?
That's right. We were all book shopping together because reading is fundamental.
I hear that's true. Yeah. But the report also says that you left separately from the kids. You left the bookstore, and then somebody else took the kids away into a different location. You guys did not go together.
No, we went together. But you know how it is when people get all wrapped up in the children's book section?
Yeah.
And they wanted me to leave, and I wouldn't leave the children's book section.
Oh. And your kids weren't in the children's book section?
No.
Oh.
They've outgrown that.
Oh. But you haven't.
But Daddy needs a date.
Oh. Okay.
Hold on, someone's at the door. I have to see. Hold on a second. Don't get out of my wheelchair here.
No, no, don't try to stand up, Michael. That may be a bad idea. Oh. Michael? Mike, you okay?
Hello?
I forgot I can't walk.
Thank you, Michael. Some people do songs that won't wake you up. Jack Johnson. Some people songs do songs that do wake you up. Serge, thank you.
Yep.
That's an outstanding point. And if you know if you're hearing that song at 6:35 in the morning, you have to be listening to K-Rock, and we appreciate that. By the way, on the program tomorrow, the director of Hustler Videos, the director of operations for Hustler Video is going to be here to talk about the big screen Kevin and Bean porn movie called Cucamonga Meat. I think that we're doing that for tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that.
Did we decide on Cucamonga Meat or Kevin and Bone? I don't remember.
Oh, I guess I left the meeting early. I didn't know. Also, comedian Patton Oswalt on the show today. And this is the week that the K-Rock listener has the Coldplay house party. We're going to try to get a hold of her and see if we can weasel our way in so we can tell you about it. That's all coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Plus, your tickets for Batman The Dark Knight next hour.
We have some new interns. Teen Wolf is one of them. We call him Teen Wolf because he's got unbelievable facial hair. From the top of his head to his chin, he's covered in hair.
Hmm.
And it's a strange choice. Welcome, Teen.
Hey, what's going on?
Teen Wolf, refresh my memory. The first Teen Wolf movie was Michael J. Fox. Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
And then Teen Wolf 2 was Jason Bateman, right?
Yeah, who's better.
He was a good Teen Wolf, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're in the long tradition of terrific Teen Wolves. Well, welcome.
Yeah. How do you make the decision to have that facial hair, first of all?
Well, I had the time is now, you know, the Al-Qaeda facial hair before, because I'm just incredibly lazy.
Right.
And then I just decided, you know what, I'm not going to be lazy anymore, so I shaved it like this, and then I was lazy again, so I kind of just let it go to hell.
Yeah.
It is all patchy.
Yeah. It's patchy, and it's also cut, like it goes from his ear, you know, right down to the side of his mouth,
yeah.
And then below it, it's more heavy.
I kind of look like Wario.
It's unmanageable.
Well, it's a video game reference.
Yes, you do.
Good reference.
Yeah, I know.
What school do you go to, Teen Wolf?
Cal State LA.
And you get credit for being here at K-Rock is actually earning you some college credit? That's how it works usually?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a joke. So I think it was last week. I'm not sure. Maybe it was a week before. Our producer Alex said, hey, you're married?
Yeah.
And you said?
No, I'm just a pussy. Yeah.
And she said, why do you have that ring on your finger? And you said, my girlfriend wants me to wear it.
On your ring finger?
On his ring finger. On his left-hand ring finger.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I've got these little stubby hands,
yeah.
So it's kind of the only finger that it fits on.
Yeah, that's not the reason, though.
Is that
no.
A you ring don't wear, she gave you?
You don't wear a ring on your ring finger because it's the only finger it fits on.
No.
Yeah. And you could use your right-hand ring finger, if that's the truth.
I could,
but
yeah.
She wants you to wear it on your ring finger?
Well...
And that's not a bad sign to you? Do you not go, warning, warning?
No, it is.
I'm not married. She wants me to wear it on my ring finger.
It's not my favorite thing ever.
Right.
But
you forgot the word no?
Yeah.
You lost the ability to dissent?
Yeah, well, it makes it a lot easier to...
Did she put a deadline on you? Did she say choose?
No.
The ring or I'm gone?
Oh, yeah, that kind of deadline.
She did say that.
Yeah. No, it's not like that. It's kind of more of an implied thing. It's kind of...
she implied that she would leave if you don't wear it on your ring finger.
If you love me, you'll wear it on
Yeah,
your
she
finger.
Says that. If you love me, you'll buy me food. If you love me, you'll buy me a movie ticket. If you love me, you'll do all this stuff.
And yeah.
Sometimes I'm just inclined to say, well, I don't love you today, so...
How long you been with her?
Almost 3 years. About two and a half years, 3 years almost.
So. That's long enough that you ought to be allowed to have your own opinion, too.
Well, some of them you just never have your own opinion.
I don't blame her. Well, it's up to him to stand up.
Well, look what the whore cat dragged in. A whore.
It is up to him to stand up.
It's worse because
if you're going to let us run roughshod, we're going to run roughshod.
Well, that's not, how that goes. First of all, that's not okay. But second of all.
But come on, if you're going to just lay down in the street.
I guess, but.
You can't really fault us for walking over here.
But why wouldn't you walk away?
I mean, she will eventually. That's the other thing. She will eventually walk away.
Well, no, because I
got
no still,
backbone.
I can still, you know, I still call her. And I tell her no to things.
Sure you
occasionally.
Do. Yeah. No, you tell her no all the time,
yeah,
I'm sure.
No, I won't. Yeah, well, maybe
okay,
not that
honey.
Forcefully.
Okay, I mean, honey.
Maybe it's more like, no, I don't want to.
All right. I'll rub your feet.
Teen Wolf, take me back. Take me back, if you would.
Yeah.
How did the whole ring thing come up? Was it just something she showed up with one day? She bought you a ring and said, here, put this on so everyone knows you're mine? Or was
no,
it
that's
more...
the embarrassing thing. It's the thing I get called on the most is it's actually her class ring.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah.
I thought it was her ring.
I don't even have my own one.
It's her ring on his ring finger.
Yeah.
Will you buy me that purse I want over there? I'll do anything because I'm a whore.
What did you say when she – did she suggest that you wear it or did she say, hey, do you want my ring? And you said, this is awesome. I'm going to wear it on my wedding ring finger.
Well,
what do you think, Bean?
The worst
part I don't know.
Every one of my girlfriends, I've always kind of worn their rings. And now – I know. It's bad. It's stupid. It's pathetic. But I don't know. And now when I don't wear it, I feel all naked. And then when I am naked, I feel clothed. So, yeah. And it's just – it's always constantly embarrassing. Because
you're so gay.
I would have
it
to
It is
agree.
Constantly embarrassing because it's not your ring. It's her ring, and it's on your ring finger.
When he takes it off now, he has a very distinct tan line.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pale.
Now
I'm
he takes
albino.
It off, he just looks like a guy who's trying to pretend he's not married.
Right, but he's not married.
Which makes it a lot harder to hit on all those other girls.
Which you do a lot.
No.
Teen Wolf, is it that she is afraid that you will end up with another girl? Is that why she wants this ring on you?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, she's
it's
tried.
It's a force field of protection.
I tried to avoid telling you guys this, but she actually tried to take it back, and I wanted it. So.
What? What?
I agree. Look, I'm not, you know.
So she said, give me that ring back. And you said, no, I like wearing it on my ring finger. You
she
are
was mad
so
pussy
it matches
with.
My earrings.
I really.
We're so gay.
I really. I scratched the hell out of it, too. So it's like really damaged. So
did she want it back because she wanted to break up with you?
No. She's happy.
Please, don't break up with me. I'll wear the ring still. I'll wear another ring. Just don't break up with me.
So she just
wanted
it back.
So the K-Rock microphones were there.
Yes.
So she just wanted it back because she wanted to wear it, and you wouldn't give it to her.
Yeah.
He's a homo. All right.
What's wrong? What happened?
The problem is not her, you guys.
What's your malfunction? It isn't her. You're right.
I'm incredibly obsessive about certain things. Like, I have OCD in certain cases.
Yes.
And I just, when I get used to something, I can't change my habit. Like, I can't do it. Like, I have to put on my clothes in the right order. I check my plugs to make sure all the plugs are plugged in properly.
In your hair?
And
nice.
Well, I don't really care about my hair part. It's weird. The one thing I should be obsessive about, because it's actually on me every day, I don't care. But
like, you're obsessive compulsive about everything else, including your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So if she were to break up with you, your whole world would crumble because that's what you're used to. Not because you love her, but that's what you're used to.
Or I'd move on really quickly, like usual. But one of the two.
I don't believe it.
No.
No.
You don't have a girlfriend, do you?
You just like women's
you
jewelry.
You don't have
we
a girlfriend.
We broke up like a year ago. I just stole the ring.
Oh. That's just sad.
Well, you need to rent yourself some Lars and the Real Girl and gaze into your future. You know I got to play it, right, Kevin? You know I don't have a choice, right?
Come on.
You know I'm bound to play it. I have to.
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine today.
Let's.
Dude.
Wow. As bad as Kevin is, Lisa is that good. Which makes Kevin look even worse.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
It's common knowledge, the guy's retarded.
Yeah, I know. Traffic out there is bad. It's really people having a hard
time. Well, stay safe.
I'm Bill Cosby?
Yes.
And that, my friends, is why the television show The OC was canceled. That voiceover. It's 6:51. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Where are the outtakes from that, by the way? We got the outtakes for the Grammys. Where's Kevin recording his blind melon chunk?
Because there must be 200 of them, right?
Yeah, really. can't rain the rain blink beep. I can't relain beep.
Lisa, you do your part separately from Kevin.
She
just did it and walked out.
Yes.
So you weren't there. Okay,
didn't hang around that long. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend, shall we? Hellboy 2, The Golden Shower, came in at number one.
Army. Golden Army.
Sorry,
Army.
That's a Freudian slip right there. $36 million it made this opening weekend. That's all going to go away, though, when The Dark Knight hits the screen. I'm sure it'll be every one of the top 10 next week.
Why it got to be a Dark Knight?
Oh, can't be a light night? Hancock was number two at the box office, made an additional $33 million. Will Smith has to be pretty pleased. Journey to the Center of the Earth came in at number three, made a little over $20 million in its debut. WALL-E was number four. Wanted, number five. Get Smart came in at number six. Then Meet Dave, Kung Fu Panda, Kit Ridge and American Girl, Indiana Jones, and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, rounding out your top ten at the box office.
Will Eddie Murphy stop with these dumb movies now that Meet Dave is a disaster?
Nope.
Okay.
For some reason, he just don't get it.
He has no radar at all for good material anymore.
Not anymore.
He doesn't. I'm going to see Dark Knight tonight, by the way.
So fantastic.
I'll give you a little hint about how what I thought about it tomorrow.
How you slept through it.
Of course, we'll talk about it Friday for the big movie beat.
But same director as Begins, right?
Christopher Nolan, yes. Yeah, man who brought you Memento and Pimento, I think, the follow-up.
Really?
Yeah.
The Food Network?
Mentos was the third one, I think. So does a lot of good work. And I'm very excited about this. Speaking of Batman, we've been talking a lot because the movie's coming out this weekend. Very exciting day for me personally.
What?
I've achieved a personal goal, and I feel pretty proud of it.
Personal
little,
goal?
A little professional and personal bar I've set for myself. I finally crossed it over the weekend.
Okay.
My picture is up at 1966batmobile.com. Finally, I've made the website.
What?
1966batmobile.com is the quintessential, as you know, Lisa, the quintessential history of the Batmobile website.
Well, of course.
And they post pictures of fans up there with the Batmobile. And I made it. I finally made it. Page 19 of your brush with the Batmobile. In that section, if you click on there, on page 19, you'll see me and the Batmobile at my wedding in 2004.
Ralph did arrive at his wedding in the Batmobile.
Yes.
And finally, the people who run 1966batmobile.com have put me up on the website.
How many times have you sent that picture to them?
4,000 times.
Bean, do you have that website URL? Because I'm having trouble pulling it up here. 1966batmobile.com.
I think I got it for you.
www.voicesfromspirit.com /V21N5/links.htm.
There you go. That's
effective when we say the website first.
Yeah.
Usually I didn't get that either.
Usually say, I've got the address for that website, and then you go into it.
Yeah. Sorry, I took the attention off the fact that you were bragging about being on 1966batmobile.com.
Page 19, your brush with the Batmobile. Bottom of the page. Take a look.
Garmin.
Everyone's very proud.
Sure.
You know, Sex and the City, the movie, was a huge success.
Yes.
So it only makes sense that they're talking about a follow-up to that film.
I hope so.
According to Richard Plepler of HBO... He says that there are excellent chance of that happening at some point in the next 4 to 5 years.
Yes.
Another one. So maybe 4 or 5 years from now, we'll see. They'll wheel out the girls from Sex and the City. And
they will be quite
We just called golden girls in the city.
No kidding.
Say, oh, my menopause has kicked in. And they can just have that conversation for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Lisa, at what point is it going to start to get sad how much sex Kim Cattrall is having? Is it when she hits 70 or what?
Well, I think 60.
Well, 60?
55 if they waited 5 years. But beyond that, I'm having problems. Mm.
So anyway, naturally, talking about a bunch of other TV shows with plans for the big screen. The Sopranos movie. Would you go to see a Sopranos movie?
Only yes. Is the creator David Chase, did he write it?
Well, HBO says it really comes down to what David Chase wants to do. But he tells, an insider from HBO tells TV Guide, he believes there's a 50-50 chance it could happen in the next 2 or 3 years.
I think I'd watch
Although Chase has said for some time now he's not interested in continuing with the show. They believe he's just holding out for the best possible deal at the best possible time.
So. I would only watch it if he didn't write the ending of it.
The film just breaks.
Someone else do it.
And how about a Friends movie? You want to go see a Friends movie?
Not even a little bit.
Not a bit.
I'll be there for you.
Ross and Rachel, are they together again?
No, they have trouble in their marriage, Kevin.
No, they don't. They have to get the friends together
so everyone can patch it up.
Oh, no.
The kid's got to be a teenager by now.
Oh, dear God, no.
Apparently, representatives for Matthew Perry, David Schwimmer, and Jennifer Aniston all said they're open to the idea.
Yeah.
But there have been no firm plans made yet. But there is a rumor that the wheels are in motion to do Friends the movie.
Well, I'm not going unless Marcel returns.
I love that monkey. Yeah. Speaking of movies, the Chinese have troubles with the new movie, The Mummy, The Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, even though it was filmed in China. Chinese censors have told Universal if they want to release that movie in China, they have to make some changes before it gets released. Part of the problem is that there are a bunch of ghosts that come to life in the movie. As you can imagine, it's one of those mummy movies starring Brendan Fraser. Apparently, themes involving ghosts are taboo in China. They don't dig the ghosts. Do not like some ghosts over there in China.
The storyline was that the Chinese leader buried a bunch of army under the Great Wall or something, right?
Yeah,
and then they come back to life?
Yeah.
They come back as like terracotta soldiers or something.
Terracotta soldiers.
And apparently the Chinese want them to change that. Well, sure, China. Don't worry. We'll shoot you a new version. You just wait. We'll get that right over to you, China.
What's their fear about their people seeing ghosts in a movie? What do they think is going to happen?
Can't put ghosts in jail.
That's true.
Might give them the wrong ideas about human rights and freedom. Can't have that. Nothing that can go through bars in China, apparently. That's the deal. And who hates The Who more than Kevin?
No one that I know of.
Turns out Pete Townsend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pete Townsend posted on the band's fan forum last week that he is no longer a member of a band called The Who.
That guy.
Are you kidding me?
He goes on to write, I am Pete Townsend. I used to be in a band called The Who. It does not exist today except in your dreams.
You just have to be a dick about it.
Hey, cranky pants.
The hell?
Sorry about your hearing loss and everything, but could you just calm down a little bit?
If other people still want to be into it, I'm sure that's fine.
And apparently not.
Is he having a feud with Roger Daltrey or something? Is that what this is about? Because they're the only two guys left.
Pete says that Who fans are better off going to see a tribute band than himself and Roger Daltrey pretending to be who they used to be. This is good news for Who fans to see the two dates on November 8th and 9th here in Los Angeles where the Who's supposed to be playing, followed by a concert in Japan. So,
woo-hoo!
Yeah, it'd be a good time for everybody.
F*** that guy. What would you need him for?
Well, odd, considering they just had that big tribute Saturday night.
Yeah, it's going to air Thursday.
UCLA's Pauley Pavilion. But, yeah, apparently Pete has had an ass full of the Who. He's no longer interested.
Wow.
Well, it's cutting into his surfing for child porn time.
Oh, how dare you, sir.
Research.
Oh, that's right. I forgot it was research for book.
Research for his porn book.
That's
his book about the expose of child pornography.
Ooh. If he wanted to meet Chris Hansen, he could have just called him on the phone.
That's true.
So, Pete Townsend, how are those cookies? Today's celebrity birthdays, Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos. He was Big Pussy.
Yes, he was.
He's 62 years old today. Kyle Gass of the Tenacious D Band turns 48. I love Cage. We saw him at the poker tournament. Remember, Kevin?
Yes, we did.
That charity poker tournament.
He's a funny guy.
Funny guy. Very nice. He enjoys our show quite often. So, happy birthday, Kyle. Matthew Fox from Lost is 42 years old today. Musician Taboo, newlywed from the Black Eyed Peas, is 33 years old today. And Adam Levine of Maroon 5 turns 26 years old today.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
I'd rather not, if you don't mind, Kevin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Gerard Way coming up in about 20 minutes.
No way.
No way.
Not even funny.
Wasn't funny the first time we did it.
No
funny
now. Way.
Not the least.
Of course, from the band My Chemical Romance and the author of the Dark Horse comic collection, The Umbrella Academy. Now in stores, we'll talk to him about all of that. First, though, I know you guys hate the baseball, and I know you guys, especially you, Ralph, have a countdown on your calendar at home to the first football game of the season.
Preseason's in August.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Basketball's gone, and hockey's gone, and football is on the way.
There are no professional sports going on right now. That's the problem. So a little boxing over the weekend.
There's baseball, too, by the way. It's a little bit unexpected that there would be a quarterback controversy in the middle of July, but that is exactly what's going on with the Green Bay Packers right now. If you did not hear the story over the weekend, Brett Favre, one of the great NFL quarterbacks of all time, has decided he wants to unretire.
Again.
There's a little, again.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit of a problem this time because he doesn't really have a team to come back to because the Green Bay Packers won't release him so he can go somewhere else and they don't want him to come back. So what happens now? So we thought this is drama. I don't know how this one's going to play out, but our friend Matt Money Smith is on the phone with us right now, of course, from AM 570 Extra Sports. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
I'm good. I don't know if you guys heard, but John Madden apparently is with Aaron Rodgers just trying to choke him to death with a giant vat of corn pudding.
Is that right?
I heard he's stuffing a turducken in his throat. Is that true, Matt?
Yes, I believe he's already tried that.
Now, for folks who aren't football fans, Aaron Rodgers was Brett's backup, is now the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, has been announced by the team. He is our guy. He's the one that we're going with. We don't want Brett back to come back as our quarterback. What a dick move by Brett Favre, don't you think, Money?
Yeah, although I think because, you know, and Kevin said it when you said he's decided he wants to come back. He said again. So
yeah.
I think you have to take into consideration, if you're Ted Thompson, the general manager, and Mike McCarthy, the coach, that Brett does this and has done this two or three times already. So why not have some sort of, you know, auxiliary plan in place if, in fact, he decides he's going to come back, which they didn't because they said we kept asking him. He kept saying he's not 100% committed, and we assume he's not going to come back. Well, that doesn't work for me because he's come back every single time he said he's not. So.
Yeah, but Matt, he's never done it in this sort of public, definitive way before. He's always been sort of wavering, but with the big press conference and the teary right. goodbye and everything, I can see why they would think it was for real this time.
I think at the same time, I mean, you know, and I don't know if we can think of anyone else. I mean, Roger Clemens, of course, the fact he came back in the middle of a season after retiring
right.
Was a bit ridiculous. It just seems like he is one of those guys, and maybe it's because he's decided to make his offseason home in Mississippi as to why he can't quite stay retired. But I would have just, you know, said, look, there's always a chance. Now, that said, you know, Petros pointed out, and of course, him having played football, he's like, look, you know, it's not like any other sport where this guy doesn't affect the play of everybody else on the offense. That's what makes it so tough. If he was a wide receiver or a running back or an offensive line, hey, great, come on back.
Right.
Because they have to design an offense to a dude's strengths. That's why they've kind of gone so far down this road with this guy who's done nothing in his career, Aaron Rodgers, a guy who slid from, you know, supposedly being one of the top picks in the draft all the way to the end of the first round and, you know, was coached by a guy, Jeff Tedford, who's up at Cal, who's a very good coach that has consistently, you know, produce quarterbacks who put up great numbers in college and fail miserably.
Excellent.
In the professional ranks. David Carr, Achilles Smith, I mean, one after another have come from this Tedford school. Now, that's not saying that that'll happen with Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, there are some, I believe, flags there.
So Favre wants to come back, and the team already said to him that he's going to be the quarterback, not Favre. They can't bring him back as a backup. Right?
Well, they said that he wouldn't start, right, Matt? Is that what they said? He can come back, but he can't start.
Yeah, they didn't necessarily intimate that he would be a backup quarterback. They just said that Aaron Rodgers is our starter, and we are going to be looking. If Brett, you know, he's got to send a letter saying he wants to be added to the roster. That means they got to then scratch out a check for $12.5 million for his services.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or they have to release him. One of those two things have to happen.
Or trade him, right?
Or trade him, yeah. Although I think, I guess trading would get tricky because Brett, of course, could just say, nope, not going to Jacksonville, stay and retire. You know, things like that could
right.
happen. That's why he asked for the outright release, so he could just negotiate.
Sure, that's what
else.
He wants. But wouldn't it be smarter for the Packers to try to work a trade? This way they don't have to carry that kind of check, like you said, for them to write about. Either he stays retired or they get the burden of that contract off their backs.
The only thing I can think of is, you know, in their selfish ways, and look, they have a right to be selfish. They gave him a $150 million deal, whatever. They can do this. I just don't think they want a guy who is probably the third or maybe even the second best quarterback in the league last year.
Yeah.
Going to Minnesota or just trading him somewhere else and seeing
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago, Tampa Bay. I mean, especially if it were in the NFC, a team that could then come back to haunt them. If for some reason they put together a pretty good season and make the postseason, you know, what if they meet up and next thing you know, Brett Favre is just destroying his former team and, you know, people in Green Bay are freaking ransacking the front office people's homes.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be better to control where he goes with a trade than just to give him an outright release?
No question, which is why, you know, I think they're just going to keep him.
Yeah.
And write it. It's, you know, it's the old equivalent of, you know, guy gets an offer from somebody else, comes back, tells his employer, and they're like, oh, yeah, no problem. We're going to take care of you. And next thing you know, his office has been duct taped shut.
So they're going to pay him $12.5 million to not do anything or play anywhere, basically.
Yeah, I think cut the grass with a pair of scissors.
How paint the lines on the hash marks.
How many years does he have left?
He's got 2 years left on his deal. You know?
2 years? For him, that's a lifetime.
I mean, it's at least one more retirement ceremony.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right.
Hey, Money, let me ask you again. This is Matt Money Smith we're talking to about Brett Favre trying to unretire again and what will end up happening. What do you think the fan on the street in Green Bay would like to see the Packers do? What is their wish?
Well, it's funny you mention that, Beam, because go figure, the people in Green Bay have nothing better to do than put together a 10,000 respondent survey. 10,000 people responded to this survey.
Wow. Okay.
What should Brett Favre do in Green Bay? And 34% of them was the biggest sell that said they'd like him to stay retired.
Really? Wow.
Believe it or not. I think, you know what, I think very much like the team and like a lot of us that are just kind of viewing it from the outside, it just looks like one of those things where the guy has done it too much. You know?
Yeah.
Enough, you know, you're
this is the third time, right?
This is the
third.
This is the third time. But like Ralph said, this is the first time that he made it official and
right.
That press conference. But you know, he did intimate. Remember that was that magical Monday Night Football game after
yep.
his father died, and people
mm-hmm.
thought he would retire then. And
right, right.
You know, so this has been going. But you know, that's in his defense. That's natural for a guy that's 36, 37 years old playing football for people to speculate that this is it. You know,
right.
It,
but he could have said, "I don't know. I'm going to have to decide."
Yeah, and well, that's what's so strange about this year is, you know, those previous years, the Packers, you know, were in the decline. He wasn't playing that well. But, you know, when you throw for 4,000 yards and take your team to the championship game in the NFC, it's just kind of one of those things where you scratch your head and go, really? That he's going to go out on that interception?
Well, that's the thing.
That year.
Exactly. That's the thing. 7 months ago, here's a guy who's in the NFC championship game, and now he can't get a job. I mean, it's, like, so weird.
Well, I think he could get a job.
Yeah, you know, easily.
If the Packers released him, there'd be about, I mean, anybody with a quarterback not named Tom Brady or Peyton Manning would be ready to go.
Or Eli.
Or Donovan McNabb.
I don't know. Remember
how dare you, sir?
You remember what T.O. said? Hey, man, Brett Favre's our quarterback. We win that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's my teammate.
Can't keep his job, I guess. Can't get the job that he wants, which is to be the quarterback for the Packers, I guess is what I mean. All right, last question for me on this, since we're talking about the fans in Green Bay. Is there any hint to this money because the Packers are publicly owned? Does that factor in at all? Is there, I mean, the fans are the stockholders in this case, right?
Yes, the fans own the team. I think so. I think there's, you know, probably one or two, you know, just stockholder meetings coming to decide what they're going to do. Because let's face it, as stockholders, they decide what they want to do with $12.5 million.
Yeah.
They're going to owe him if, in fact, they do welcome him back once they get that letter that says, please add me to your active roster. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. And that probably will play something in this, in how this whole thing shakes out.
Is there any chance that they'll just bite the bullet and go to Aaron Rodgers and say, look, we thought you were going to be the starting quarterback, but we didn't know Brett was going to unretire, so I'm sorry, you're back to back up, and Brett's our guy? Is there a possibility that that'll roll that way?
I think that would make going postal, that we would officially change that term to go on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, this guy literally has had it, you know, 1 year, nope, he's coming back. All right, Aaron, you're like, nah, not so much. And now this time, I mean, have you seen the guy? He's
no.
like 22 years old. He looks like he's 60.
Yeah.
He's got giant bags under his eyes. He's already got a boiler on his freaking gut. I mean, he is a mess.
It's a hard life to be Aaron Rodgers.
Plus, I think that would be poison for the franchise, too. You just can't put off the inevitable. At some point, you got to start building towards the future, and this seemed like it for them.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And I think they're just trying to force Brett's hand to stay retired and say, yeah, we'll get you back here, no problem. Come on back up. Oh, but you're not going to be the quarterback.
Yeah.
Come on up.
You could be the kick holder.
What happens if you're Brett Favre and you come back and you're playing like 3 years ago instead of last year, and you're throwing up a bunch of picks, and you look like a boxer who got back into the ring one too many times?
Yeah.
It'll just be pathetic.
Which is entirely possible. And plus, you know, the first time, I mean, Aaron Rodgers takes a snap and maybe just kind of stumbles a little bit as he's going back from center. Got to get Brett.
Bring in Brett. Well, I think it's a dick move, but I'm glad he did it because it allows us to talk about football in the middle of the summer.
Thank God.
So that's exactly.
Talk about baseball?
No
baseball talk right now, Bean?
No Mariners talk?
I'll take the American League and the All-Star game tomorrow night. I'll take that bet with you.
Yeah, and I'll take your $100, a-hole.
Oh, you're breaking up. Sorry, kid.
This life is more than just a read-through.
106.7, K-Rock is KROQ.
What's going on with Lisa under the console? Jordan Way is here from my cabin.
Lisa's
under the console. I thought I only ever heard about that in movies. I didn't know that happened in real life.
I'm a huge fan.
Apparently.
Hey, Gerard.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you
We're
guys?
We're mistaking drugs for coming
thank
in.
Thank you.
We don't usually get the rock stars to come in the 7 o'clock hour because their schedules are the exact opposite
yeah.
of us.
Well, he doesn't have his rock star hat on today. He's got his comic book geek hat on today, and those people are always up. So, shall we play the big intro for Gerard and then properly introduce him? You want to do that? Or did we forget we had a big intro?
I believe we forgot we had a big intro.
Well, no, Mike was under the console with me.
Do we want to take two? Should we play the Red Hot Chili Peppers again and come back out of it?
No.
Not the whole thing.
That's necessary.
We can't find the intro. I'm sorry. Omar made it, but we can't find it.
Gerard is here, of course, from the band My Chemical Romance, which is, are you in a break right now?
Yeah, we're in our first like real break, which is I think we're 7 years old now, which is and we've toured that long too, so now we finished up at MSG and that was it. We're like, we got to take a long break. So
you
good for you.
Thanks.
I was reading an article where you were talking about just being so tired of being on the road that usually what you do is just start drawing, just get out your books. And how many books of that kind of sketching do you have?
Oh god, seriously. I have at least like 27 sketchbooks at home.
Dude.
Just, I've saved them all since I've been in art school.
That's a good
and
idea.
I had a bunch before that, too. So I just have stacks of
them. Do you constantly run into the problem of people who don't know your background in art school and you know, drawing comics and think that this is just another story of Scarlett Johansson trying to sing, you know, one of those deals where you're stepping out of your...
But you know what's cool about that? She's doing, like, a Tom Waits cover album, right?
Yeah, did you hear it?
That's cred. I haven't heard it, though.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool.
Reserve judgment.
She's better as a fan than she is as a tribute artist.
Right. I'm just saying. Not
no, but,
I do run into that, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I think Kevin asked a good question. Is there a lot of people think, well, here's just another star, like, you know, Bruce Willis is an actor, so he thinks he can sing, and they just think that you're dabbling in this. But, I mean, this has been kind of a twin love of yours your whole life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have a total background in it. It's actually technically my degree. I mean, it's just a Bachelor of Fine Arts, but my major was cartooning. So I have actually a degree in comics.
That is not a major.
I know.
That is so, it's such a great major.
I know. It's actually,
what are you taking?
You know,
cartooning?
Cartooning. That was my major, so.
So
I run into it. You know, everybody thought it was going to be kind of some sort of vanity project. The cool thing was we knew it wasn't, so we were just waiting for it to come out.
Well, that was your first love, right?
Yeah, that was the first thing.
You would rather have been a cartoonist than a rock star or a singer or a band.
The funny thing is, the story goes, I was in a band first, and I thought I was going to be in a band and tour the world, and they kicked me out of the band because I couldn't play Sweet Home Alabama on guitar.
Really? That was the
that
was the deal breaker?
Swear to God. So then I did comics as – that was my fallback, was comics.
Ah, I did not know that. And you worked at DC for
– Yeah, I was an intern there for over a year. And it was pretty amazing. I got to handle a lot of – this is before everything went digital, so I got to photocopy real artwork and stuff. So it was,
that must have been super exciting. How did that come to an end?
I graduated.
They kicked you out as well?
Yeah, I graduated. I wanted to work in the mailroom, and they said they didn't want anybody with aspirations of working in comics to work in the mail. Yeah, which I kind of get, I guess.
I guess, but yeah, but
I was like, wait, you don't want anybody that wants to work in comics working in comics? But it was cool though. I'm still friends with everybody there, and you know,
who did you love? Who were your comic book heroes when you were young?
When I was young, I loved Chris Claremont's X-Men. And Mark Silvestri, they did this. That was my first like superhero book, and I like the X-Men better than anybody else because they were like dirty and ugly, and they didn't get any of the credit because they were invisible to machines and cameras, and that was cool. Then I got into stuff like Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol and Garth Ennis's Preacher. And
I do not recognize these words. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm digging a little deep.
I apologize.
A lot of Vertigo books. You know, I was really into Neil Gaiman, Sandman, and stuff like that.
What do you think about all of the movies? This seems to be the last 2 years seem to just be one superhero movie after another, comic book movie after another. What do you like? Did you see Hellboy, for example, this weekend?
I haven't actually. You know, actually, I was supposed to go to the premiere, and Dark Horse is the company that. It puts out in the Umbrella Academy, and they're amazing. They put out Hellboy and Hellboy movie, and I got stuck in traffic. I just moved to LA, so now I'm getting used to that.
Oh.
It's like
excellent.
Yeah.
So instead of seeing the movie, you were sitting in traffic.
Sitting in traffic.
Excellent.
So I had to turn around. I haven't seen it yet.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Did you see either Iron Man or Hulk?
I have not seen either of those.
Well, you are not a very big comic book fan.
That's what it is. I generally don't go. I don't go to see comic book movies.
Because you've been burned or you didn't like some of them?
I don't know. No, because I like Spider-Man. I went and saw that when it came out.
The emo Spider-Man, though.
I heard about that. See, I haven't even seen that.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to the movies.
That's okay.
I heard there's an emo Spider-Man.
There is.
There he is.
He's dancing. I don't know. I don't understand that whole last one. But
if you were in Fallout Boy, you could go to that one. Otherwise, no.
Right.
Otherwise,
I get the haircut.
He does. So, so you moved to Los Angeles. Yeah. Is that something you ever expected? I mean, you always seemed like you were pretty proud of New Jersey and loved mm-hmm. living in New Jersey. Completely. Was your plan all along to move, or are you even surprised that you're now living in California?
Well, the whole point of starting the band was to get out of, not necessarily New Jersey, but get out of that situation, mm-hmm. you know, like bad jobs, pushing carts, gas stations, stuff like that, parking lots, standing in parking lots, smoking cigarettes, get out of that whole thing. So
you wanted to get out of smoking cigarettes in parking lots?
Yeah.
Really?
But you know what's funny?
Because that sounds good.
I started a band, and now I stand in parking lots and smoke cigarettes.
Well, that is true.
You know,
that is true. That's what you do
all day. But
so why did you decide to move here? Was it the...
It's so inspiring. I love it out here. Every record we've made has been in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I equate that with creating things. And I wake up every day in our house and I feel inspired to create something. Whereas back in Jersey, I was living close to New York City recently and I would just wake up. It was gray and it just didn't do anything for me. The city's just too much of a monster,
yeah.
New York. It's great, but it's too big for me.
Well, wait till you sit in soul-crushing traffic for a while.
It's definitely soul-crushing.
That will squeeze the life right out of you, my friend.
It's definitely soul-crushing.
All right. Your next album will be about going on a killing rampage. There's no question about that.
I've noticed that I've taken on some of the personality traits of driving here. And the cursing and asking questions that have no answer.
Yes. Yep, road rage is what we call it. And you're going to be in jail soon, just so you know.
What about the other guys in the band? Are they still living back east? And is that going to create friction? Or are they moving all over the place too?
No, they still all live in Jersey. They all love Jersey so much, though. Mikey's thinking about actually coming out here, though. And... because me and him have always loved it a lot. And Bob, of course, lives in Chicago. But it's not really a friction thing because we were doing the band so much. It got to the point where we would have off maybe for like 3 weeks or a month that we wouldn't even rehearse. It's so ingrained in us.
Right.
You know, like we just come do it. And we make all our records here. So eventually we all have to come back here.
How long of a break are you taking from the band? Because I got to imagine I know you love the guys you play with, but you got to be sick of that whole... Not the music part of it, but the traveling and
That's what it is. You know, you love writing music too, but these days you don't get to do that so often, and you're touring on the music you've put out, and we don't want to do that so much anymore. Is actually make more records. We'd rather make records quicker, tour on them less, and just make more records.
Yeah,
make more songs. That's what a band does. They write songs to play live. And
what's the difference between writing a song and authoring a comic book? What's the main difference there? They both are super creative, it seems like.
They are.
I couldn't do either. I know that.
It's weird. They both have their own structures. Like, a comic is 22 pages, and you only have a certain amount of room on the page, and within those panels, you only have a certain amount of room to put bubbles. But a song, generally, you're kind of limited, too, like by things like rhyming. So they each have their own limitations. They are very similar, though. I find it...
It's kind of like... both are kind of like storytelling, right?
Yeah, especially for me. Like, I've always wanted to be a storyteller. I was inspired by guys like Nick Cave or Tom Waits. So those guys were storytellers. And to me, in punk rock, like, nobody was telling stories, mm-hmm. and I wanted to do that. So so it's very natural. Like, a lot of the things that I was doing Umbrella Academy before we had made Black Parade, like, for example, the reason that the record ended up being called Black Parade is because the original name of the villains in Umbrella Academy was the Black Orchestra. I just like the ring of it. So
why do they have to be black?
It's like it was more
I'm just
about
kidding.
The
I'm just kidding.
Gerard Way
I just had
is
a love
here.
Line flashback, by the way.
Oh, no.
There was some kind of jokes going around at a love line. It was it's very uncomfortable.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Gerard Way is here. We're gonna talk some more with him about his Dark Horse comic collection called The Umbrella Academy. In fact, we'll get him to explain what's going on in the Umbrella Academy because it is a bizarre and fascinating story. Plus we'll talk about Gerard's upcoming appearance at the Comic-Con down in San Diego, which is right around the corner. That and more after this on the World. Our friend Gerard Way is in the studio from the band My Chemical Romance. Of course, their new album is just in stores as of last week called The Black Parade is Dead, which is a live album. And it also has a DVD that features two shows of My Chem on the last tour. I guess one in Hoboken, New Jersey at a tiny little club. And then the Mexico City one. That was the last date of the tour, right?
That was the last performance of the Black Parade.
Oh, no one has ever been more happy than you at the end to go, The Black Parade!
Wright is dead.
That's how the obviously
like,
that's
man,
where
man, you're excited.
I was excited about that. Well, that's
but what does that mean that it's the last performance? You'll still do some of those.
Oh, yeah,
some of those songs
we'll
are among
songs.
The most popular songs, right?
Yeah, yeah. But we won't perform as Black Parade with the, you know, until we hit maybe, you know, 50 and need the money.
Sure, I got you. I understand.
How many? Well, I just wanted to ask one related question to that, and that is, how long did you go without washing those jackets? What was your
a
record?
A long time.
Really?
It would get to this point where Nelty, who was helping us out with wardrobe, our friend, eventually she said, you have to wash these. Like, these are disgusting.
It's getting gross. That's what I thought. I was watching the Mexico City one. I was like, if it were me, I would just, I don't know, I'd go 3-4 shows.
Well, you know what happens? You start to get superstitious about your clothes, and when you wash them and get them back, they feel different. Like, something's not right.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's not lazy. It's superstitious?
It's both. Huh. It's lazy, but it's superstitious. Okay. You start to feel like they're going to wash off the luck, you know?
Like an athlete? You have, like, your favorite
socks
that you... Or whatever it is.
Yeah. A lot of us have things like that. Socks,
no
underwear, T-shirts. We have certain T-shirts that we'll only wear.
Now, are the jackets, are those being retired as well or no?
Yeah, it's hanging in my closet at home. You know, that's up in there.
Wash now?
I think it smells really bad.
Me
and my wife have this costume closet with all of our stage clothes, mm-hmm. and it's the worst smelling closet in the house.
Excellent.
It's gotta be. Good.
It's unbelievable. It's just
you know,
like,
it doesn't have to be that way.
You
know that, right?
I know.
Okay.
Well, you have to drive to clean a lot of that.
The CD DVD is in stores now, but the reason Gerard is here today is because the Dark Horse comic collection of his Umbrella Academy, issues 1 through 6, they're collected together in a box set and available for sale now. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a trade. I think they're called trades now. Graphic novel. Yeah, it's collected. Yeah.
Is this a limited edition thing that people need to go out and get immediately, or are there only
no.
a certain number of them? Okay, so
yeah,
it's available
keep
for everyone.
As long as people want to read them. There is a limited edition one coming out in September, October, November. Can't remember.
We like that. We like that. We feel like pressured into buying the same thing 5 times.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, this one's got commentary.
What's the genesis of the Umbrella Academy? How far back into your youth does the story go?
Not far back into my youth, as far as it was inspired by things like Chris Claremont's X-Men. But then, as I got older and I was in art school, I was into guys like David Lynch and Genet films and stuff. So I was like, well, what if you had one of these guys directing like an X-Men movie, you know? And but the genesis really happened when I was on Taste of Chaos. And,
really? Wow.
Yeah.
That was 2-3 years ago?
Yeah. And yep. It was like the first tour, one of the first tours where I was clean. So I had all this free time. And when you get clean, you have all this nervous energy and you get up at like 9 a.m.
Right.
Yeah. And you're like, wow, I only slept 4 hours, but I'm wide awake. What's happening?
What do I do?
Yeah. What do I do with myself now? So I just started drawing. And then, you know, I was like, I'm going to do superheroes. You know, F it. I'll figure it out.
But they're not really superheroes, are they?
They're not. And that's
I mean, they're kind of anti-superheroes, but...
It's totally not a superhero book. That's what's cool about it. I mean, if anything, it could be called like a postmodern superhero story, but they're very far from being superheroes. Yeah.
And there's 6 of them now. And are you done? You're writing more?
I was just in the break. We were talking. I stayed up last night and wrote issue 2 of series 2, which comes out November. I don't know.
Sometime in November.
November. Comes out November.
You sounded so sure until the date.
Yeah.
So sure.
I think it's the 28th, maybe.
Is the Umbrella Academy something that you have an end date for in your mind, or is it, as far as you can see right now, just something you're going to continue to do till further notice?
Yeah, I have an end story in mind, but I don't have an end date. I know how it ends, but the cool thing is it changes a lot. And, you know, even Series 2 was supposed to be like Series 6 or something down the line, but we bumped it up because
really?
We wanted to do it so much. And
do you have other story ideas for other
comics? Yeah, I do, actually. The other night I got real inspired. I ended up staying up till 6 a.m. again, too, because I came up with this crazy, you know, thing about a guy who's a planet killer or something.
A planet killer?
Yeah, it's...
Okay. That's the thing about comics. You can't really unveil them slowly. You got to put it out there so that there's
right
a story.
Yeah.
There's an actual story there. Tell us about Comic-Con. Beaton was mentioning you're going to be down there?
Yeah, I'm going to be there Friday and Saturday. Friday, I think I have a lot of press. And then Friday night is the Eisner Awards, which I'm very excited about. And Umbrella Academy is up for 2 of those, I believe. And
very cool.
I think Gabrielle, the artist, is up for 1 himself. I'm very excited for him. And then on Saturday, I have a panel with Grant Morrison. I don't know the time on that. and then I don't know much.
You're just like
that's
us.
That's 2:15 on Saturday is what time you're
just enough information to hang yourself. That's
exactly.
That's the way we are.
Yes, it's a panel, and then after that is the signing from 4 to 5:30. I knew that.
4 to 5:30.
Have you ever been to Comic-Con as a fan, Jordan?
When I was younger, I went to New York Comic Con a lot. I loved it. Okay. My dad would take me and Mikey. It was at the Javits Center, and we just loved it. And then they stopped doing them. And so I've been actually going to San Diego Comic Con the last – this is my third year in a row, but I've never seen the con. I've only been backstage, kind of, so to speak, at the Dark Horse booth with the pipe and drape. I've never seen the convention. I don't know.
Is this a thrill for you to be there as a comic book artist?
It really is. You know, that was a dream of mine, you know, to be there as a professional and – to have a book that's actually accepted and people really love, and they got kind of over the whole also happens to be in a band thing. I mean, that's just really exciting if people take it seriously.
How many comic books do you have to sell in 2008 America to be considered successful?
I was just talking about
I have no idea what comic books sell.
I have no idea either. And the greatest thing about my editor, Scott, is that we don't pay attention to the numbers at all. Like, it's really cool.
We should get our bosses to do that.
Yeah, we would have known if it was a failure, but we knew it, we found out it was a hit, and I think we paid attention to the first issue numbers, which were really big for a comic. Mm-hmm. And the trade apparently is really big too, but we don't really pay attention; we just do it.
They keep letting you make more, so that means obviously they think there's an audience. Now, the last question I have, because we're almost out of time, Gerard, is that it only makes sense that somebody is going to talk to you about making the Umbrella Academy into a movie at some point. I would imagine, right?
Right. Well. Mike Richardson, who runs Dark Horse, I think he was giving some interview. I'm trying to remember. He was at a premiere, and he had mentioned the Umbrella Academy Universal wanting to make it into a film. And there has been talks of that. So,
what do you think about that?
I think, you know, there's a great author who, like, somebody said to him once, you know, like, do you think, like, how do you feel about your books getting ruined? He's like, they're not ruined. They're still on the shelf. So the way I kind of feel is, like, the comic's the comic. If they make a great movie, that's great, too, you know, but it's not.
They make a bad
change.
Movie, the comic's still there. The
comic's still there. That's kind of how I feel. It's flattering, and it's really cool, and I'd love to see these characters come to life, though.
And I hope Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Cruz are in it, and they kiss.
Me, too. I'm in on that.
I'll work
if that I can
in.
Throw that out there, maybe some casting suggestions. I don't know if you've got any girls kissing in your story, but maybe you should write that in for the movie.
He's writing in number two. And one last question for me. Yeah. Is it true that you – I was reading an article about you that you pitched Cartoon Network something called The Breakfast Monkey?
I did. Yeah, that really happened. And that show would have been awesome, too.
The Breakfast Monkey.
It was awesome. He talked like Bjork. He didn't even look like a monkey. You know, he just – like he was Scandinavian, and he didn't even have, like, fingers. He looked like a cross between a monkey and Pillsbury Doughboy. And he had
Well,
this,
why would they say no to that?
Because they had just actually signed the guys that did Aqua Teen Hunger Force. They said, we already have a food show. So
really? That was their answer?
That was their answer. We already have a food show. And, you know, Aqua Teen ended up being one of my favorite shows of all time. So it worked out. Right. Everything worked out.
Breakfast Monkey's not going to be at the big screen or anything, though.
I don't think so. I've left him behind.
Although, if you ever have a spinoff band, you got to call it the Breakfast Monkey. It's a great name for a band. All right. The Black Parade is Dead is the new CD-DVD in stores everywhere for My Chemical Romance. And the Dark Horse comic collection is called The Umbrella Academy. It's episodes or issues or volumes 1 through 6 in stores or online now. And Gerard, of course, will be at Comic-Con, as you heard him describing, and that's coming up on the weekend of the 25th, I guess, which is very close to here.
It is.
All right, Gerard, great to catch up with you, my friend. Welcome to Los Angeles. I hope we'll be seeing more of you, dude.
You will. Thanks.
Go back to bed.
I will.
Subway, eat fresh. Opening time may vary. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa.
It's like Lisa. Opening time may vary. You know what I'm saying? Could be right first 5 minutes of the date. Could be the end after she's milked you for a meal and a bottle of nice bubbly.
That's true.
You never know.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Hellboy 2, as expected, pulled in the most money. $36 million it made over the weekend. Not too shabby. Here's the thing about movies. This is what you should do. You should put out a good one. If it doesn't make any money, let it sit for a couple of years, marinate on DVD, let people get up a big appetite for it, and then you put the sequel out, and people go in droves.
Yeah, this is like 5 times bigger than the first one already, right? Yeah. Or something crazy like that?
Yep. Hancock was number 2 at the box office. Paid 30. Seriously. Every time?
Well, what's the name? You're saying what's the name of the movie?
Hancock. Foot penis. $33 million. Good enough to make it number 2. Journey to the Center of the Earth. New Brendan Fraser 3D thriller. Third at the box office with a little over $20 million. Then WALL-E, Wanted, Get Smart, Meet Dave, Kung Fu Panda, Kit Kittredge, and American Girl, and Indiana Jones
and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. You know, celebrities, they're just like us.
I hear that.
I read that in a magazine someplace. Mm-hmm. They've got problems with their neighbors. Apparently, Denise Richards' neighbors hate her as much as we do.
Well.
Is that possible?
Yeah. Because she lives in a pretty highfalutin area. I think she's in Calabasas, mm-hmm. up there with nice homes and a lot of land. And mm-hmm. her neighbors, who appreciate their peace and quiet, are not thrilled that she is shooting that reality show up there. Because there's trucks and cameras and people roaming around and noise sure. and lights, and they've had an ass full. So they've been complaining and complaining and complaining, not just about that, but also about the fact that she has, like, literally 20 dogs that yeah. just run roughshod all over her property and bark and yelp and crap.
And pigs and chickens pigs and everything
chickens
else, right?
And squirrels and wolverines. And
she's wolverines?
Yeah, wow. Llamas.
Don't they eat the squirrels?
That's cool.
So she's got some pandas and a...
Wow. Like a zoo.
It is. So Star Magazine claims she's being forced to put her multi-million dollar mansion up on the sales block because...
Neighbors don't like her.
Neighbors are driving around. Good for you, neighbors.
Wherever she moves, they're not going to like her either, by the way.
Yeah. Have you watched any of that?
One.
It's complicated.
The first episode,
Denise Richards,
and I realized I did not want to watch it.
And now
it's not complicated.
Nope.
Right.
Pretty easy.
She's just a bitch whore. It's very simple, actually. But Denise Richards, it's simple. She's a bitch whore.
I see the synopses of that show, and it seems like it's all manufactured for television. Like, it doesn't really have anything to do with reality. Like, this week I heard she went to a pet psychic or something like that, yes. which you know they just do because they think it'll be good TV, not because it's giving you a glimpse into her actual life.
It plays like the world's worst sitcom because everything is completely staged, and her father's right. in it, and her father's no actor, so he looks awkward. My wife watches it because she loves the train wreck yeah. quality of it. And Bean's right. She had a pet psychic come over to talk to her pets because she's going on vacation with her girlfriends to Hawaii and dad doesn't want to mind the 20 dogs that she's got. So she brings in a pet psychic to see if she can calm the dogs down so dad can watch them while she's gone.
Really?
And the whole trip to Hawaii, the whole pet thing, she has to lose 10 pounds to put on her bikini because she's going to Hawaii. The whole thing plays like a really horrible WB sitcom.
F yeah. you effing bitch.
So at least it's bad television on top of being bad her. More bad neighbor news. Nicole Richie isn't too happy with her new neighbor. Apparently, Nicole Richie moved to Glendale.
Glendale? Sorry, Mike's gone.
Never thought I'd say I miss Psycho Mike. Moved to Glendale, California with her boyfriend Joel Madden to get away from the paparazzis since she's had the baby. But since her new neighbor moved in next door, they've been back.
Who's her new neighbor?
Paris Hilton.
Are you serious? She can't
shake Paris still?
Apparently Paris bought the house next door to her.
Glendale!
In order to be close to her BFF, and now the paparazzi are once again swarming the streets where she lives.
Awesome.
And she isn't pleased. This according to the New York Post. Here's the thing. Remember when the, what the hell was that show called? The Surreal Life? No, what the hell was their show called?
Simple Life?
Simple Life. When that first came out, everybody was like, oh, Nicole Richie's such a hanger-on. She's such a parasite on the Paris yep. Hilton's fame. Blah, blah, yep. blah, blah. Bean used to call her. What's the name of the dog that Paris Hilton owns? Oh, it's Nicole Richie.
That's true, by the way.
And now Nicole seems like the normal, nice one who's like more popular with everyone than Paris does. Paris just seems sad now and pathetic. Mm-hmm. Funny how things change.
Excellent point.
Isn't it? Speaking of sad and pathetic, Katherine Heigl has made no secret that she wants to be a full-time movie star and get out of her obligations with Grey's Anatomy, while E! Online is saying she may get her wish.
Teeth.
Rumor is that they're thinking of killing off her character, Izzy Stevens, over there, because Shonda Rhimes, the creator and producer of the show, is pissed that Katherine made those comments about the fact that she didn't feel the writers gave her good enough material
right.
to submit herself for the Emmy Award consideration this year. So
Don't do it. Don't kill her off.
Shonda Rhimes may give her her wish.
Why?
Because that's what she wants.
I'm asking Bean one.
Oh, we want her in a coma. That's why. We want her laying in a bed every week.
Tortured. I want her to lose her her medical license and work in the cafeteria at the hospital. That's what I want.
So the hairnet.
Pushing a mop. That's all. Just every scene, she's in the background pushing a mop in a bucket. That'd be the best.
Really?
I just haven't given anything to do? How about this? Here's what you have. Izzy mops the floor. That's what you see in every script. How about that? Pick up your paycheck.
How's that for writing?
You whore. And speaking of whores, Tyra Banks won the Emmy for Best Informative
daytime talk show over the weekend.
She is not still getting rewarded by the man. She's not getting Emmys,
Kevin,
Ralph.
Kevin, she is taking on big issues of the day and making women feel better about their self-esteem.
Is that what she's doing?
Here's the great thing. After 20 years of making people feel girls feel crappy about their self-esteem by being a supermodel, now she's the champion of women and their self-esteem.
But she tries to be. She's clearly not.
No, it's all a lie. It's all a fabrication. It's all just lip service. But I just think it's hysterical now that she's older and fat. Now she's standing up for women's rights to be all kinds of sizes and love yourself the way you are. Never heard a peep out of her when she was walking the catwalk before trying to tell people this is what sexy is and this is what you should look like. You can't make money on both ends of the issue.
Turns out you can, sadly.
Makes me feel
Tyra Banks really blues. Tyra Banks really blues. Blues.
It's like Coppertone. It always cheeses me off. Coppertone for 40 years said, you're not sexy if you don't have a tan. Get in the sun. Get a tan. You're healthy. In the sun, you'll get a tan. People will love you if you have a tan. Put on our stuff and go get tan. Get out in the sun. Get some tan. Now they're like, ooh, you better cover up. Get some Coppertone sunscreen because sun will kill you. Oh, you get that skin cancer. That'll be bad for you. Ooh, cover up with the sunscreen sun umbrella.
They seem to be having it both
put
ways.
On the sunscreen. The Coppertone flannel shirt. When you go outside, F you. You can't have it both ways. Do not buy Coppertone sunscreen, people. Buy any other brand, but not Coppertone.
You feel very strongly about this.
I do feel very strongly about it.
They just came out with that survey, at the end of last week, that showed skin cancer is up like 300% or something like that in the last 20 years because of people in the sun.
Coppertone told us to bake for
they
40
did.
Years.
That's true.
They show us the cute little girl with the bikini bottom that's pulling off.
You won't get laid unless you tan.
You white people have no chance of getting any punani. That's what they used to tell us. And white people like us suffered. We suffered because we felt inferior because the tan people were running around having all the fun. Bastards. Today's celebrity birthday is Vincent Pastore. You know him as Big Pussy on The Sopranos. He is 62 years old today. Kyle Gass, our buddy KG from the Tenacious D Band, is 48 years old today. Matthew Fox from Lost. And remember his Party of the 5 days when he used to raise all those kids by himself?
Party of Five.
That was a good time.
Worst name show ever.
It was a poorly named show.
No, that was a party. Nothing says party more than death of the parents. 42 years old today. Taboo from Black Eyed Peas turns 33 years old today. And Adam Levine of Maroon 5 turns 26 years old today. Kevin, what should we do about Maroon 5?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Casey. Yeah, good luck with this one. Kettisliger, like that's his real name, from Temecula, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Just picked up tickets for Batman The Dark Knight with Christian Bale and Heath Ledger. Of course, we've got them for you every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show and all week long right here on the world-famous K-Rock. The movie opens on Friday. They're talking about it making $150 million next weekend. Just a regular three-day weekend, $150 million. The movie theaters around the country are doing screenings 24 hours a day. I mean, you can go see Batman on Friday at 6 o'clock in the morning if you want.
Wow. I don't. I don't want to feel weird to go to a movie at 6 o'clock in the morning.
It sure would.
All right, we've had a running conversation off the air that we need to bring on to the air because it seems like it's an unanswerable question. But who is a 10? We always rate people. We rate their beauty based on a scale of 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Everyone does. And everybody does that because everybody can't understand if somebody says this person is a 7, you have a general idea of what it is they're talking about because we all relate to the 1 to 10 scale. It's just something we've used our whole lives.
Now, we would like to say up front, we understand we are in the 1 category. That's fine with us. We're not trying to do it by saying, hey, look at us, we're more beautiful than everybody else.
Doesn't mean you can't judge.
That's correct. You can be judgmental and ugly. And that's what we like about us. Now, so who's a 10? Because you never hear people say, she's a 10. You always hear 9. Why, I give her a 9. Never really a 10. And if there's no 10, then isn't 9 a 10?
Exactly. Order. That's what I'm saying is if you have a scale where somebody is a 7 or an 8 or a 9, it doesn't mean anything unless there is an upper end that you're comparing it to. Somewhere there has to be a 10. And maybe there are people who – I don't know. Is it? I don't think it makes any sense to not have a 10. I think you have to have a 10.
You have to pick
in your scale.
You have to have at least one 10, or your scale is bogus. That's what we're saying.
Okay.
So who's a 10?
It's time to find out who is a 10. It's time to find out who's a perfect 10. Not only is she really hot, she'd be really, really great in bed. Hey, you'll even do her when she's dead.
See, there you go.
All right. Now, whoa. What happened there?
What? I wasn't listening. What?
That's not the direction we went
necrophilia
in.
Necrophilia is
yeah,
part
that's
of
not
the
what
equation.
This is about at all.
But if she's a 10. Okay,
and,
now. So
and we've really been talking about it a lot in recent weeks, ever since Angelina Jolie came up in conversation, who is perhaps the most beautiful woman in the world. And Dave gave her what? A 6?
Oh, he was brutal.
Yeah, right? Which is absurd.
Like, he's ridiculous.
Which is absurd.
And that's when we started talking about the scale. I mean, I think Angelina Jolie would be a perfect example of someone who I would be very comfortable saying that she's a 10. Now, does that mean she can't be improved upon? No. If she were 5 years younger, I think she'd be even hotter than she is today.
She could have a meal.
Right.
She could have a meal.
She could eat.
Right.
Wouldn't hurt her.
I'm not saying she couldn't be hotter than she is, but I'm saying she's about as hot a woman as exists on planet Earth that I've ever seen. I'm very comfortable with actually saying she's a 10. I wouldn't pick her apart to the point where I would say she's an 8 or she's a 9.
I saw Wanted, and Kevin, I know you saw it. She was amazing.
Yes, she was.
Looking.
Yes, she was pretty good in that movie.
Oh, my God.
Now, but when it's a 10, it has to be – does it have to be looks and personality, I imagine? Because, for example, Scarlett Johansson to me – long time, I would have considered a 10 until she sang 9. Knocks her right down to a 9.
It's knocked a notch.
That is a bad song singing. She's bad at that. So that's a 9. Yeah. She gets a 9.
Wait. So if you saw her on the ice trying to skate and she sucked at it, would she then lose another point and she goes down to an 8 now because now there's something else she can't do?
Because this is a judgment call. She should know she can't sing. And she shouldn't try.
Or she should have the sense to, you know, have people around her that'll tell her the truth.
And by the way, Mike had a story about her that made her personality not sound so great either. So I'm definitely okay with a 9 or even an 8.5.
Oh, well, let's not get
personality
crazy.
Counts for a
personality
lot.
Counts for a lot. I agree. Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
See, now here's the thing about Charlize. She's maybe the world's most perfect woman. She's not just unbelievably beautiful, but you'll never meet someone in your whole life who's sweeter or nicer or funnier than her in person. I'd have to say she's also a 10, but
I would
again,
give her a 10.
With room for improvement, though.
No, not her.
Her boobs could be bigger.
Her boobs.
Nope. Her boobs could be bigger. I'm saying.
I mean, could they? Yes.
She's perfect. She's awesome. She is absolutely.
But you have to let her go. Yeah.
You got to put her in the 10. You got to let her go.
I'm saying
if her boobs were a little bigger, she'd even be more of a 10 if that's possible.
You're
no,
high.
Then you have to give her a 9.
Yeah, she can't be more of a 10. She's either a 10 or she's not a 10. I'm saying she's a 10.
In or out.
In or out.
That's what she said. There's a little bit of room within. There's wiggle room within
nope.
the 10.
Oh.
No.
Once you cross the 10 threshold, you're firmly in the 10.
In other words, you have to be perfect, no improvement needed?
I think...
You have to accept her.
I think you would have to say perfect.
Yes.
I think you would have to say she's perfect. And I would put her in the 10. I have a lot of 10s, actually.
Yeah, she's a 10. Charlize is definitely
I
a
agree.
10.
Alessandro Ambrosio. 10. She's a 10.
She's...
A 10?
Gorgeous. Not a 10 for me. Mm. Not a 10 for me.
What did you think when you were hanging out with her at Coachella?
That was me. All right. That was you. All right, let's talk to the nameless caller on line one in Buena Park, because this is a suggestion for somebody who I think has a real shot at being a 10. Nameless person, you're on the air.
The 10, I think, is Megan Fox.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
I mean, is there anything wrong with her? Can you think of one thing that you would improve? She's a great example of someone who is perfect the way she is.
Her engagement?
Her engagement? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would say that would be a flaw, yes. Definitely she needs to stay on the open market.
So she's 9 3/4 because of Brian Austin Green.
Yeah, and who she's engaged to, not just that she's engaged.
Bad taste.
All right. Yeah. I guess that does hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Random caller, do you do the same thing that Kevin does, which is to dock them for things that don't have anything to do with their looks, like personality or accomplishments?
No, those things can all be changed.
No, you can't. If they're horrible people, they're horrible people, and that should count for something.
It does. In my mind, it does, Doc, because to be a 10, you have to be beautiful, and you have to have a great personality. Yeah. It has to be all of it. It has to be the package.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Fox is that way for me. She's good. Dave the King of Mexico. Dave the King of Mexico and Alex in the other room are saying she should get rid of her tattoos.
I didn't even notice them, to tell you the truth.
All right, let's go to nameless caller on line 8. I don't know why
we can't get anyone to put names up.
I don't know. Let's go to Ken in Fountain Valley. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Perfect. 10.
Yeah, Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars.
The little blonde?
I don't know her.
Yeah.
I don't watch that
she's
show.
She's unbelievably hot.
But she's on a bad show. So does that knock her?
And she sings... Atrocious country music.
Oh, she does.
Oh,
I mean,
nine.
You want to just stab your ears.
Sorry, 9.
She's okay, Ken. Okay. Got a Ken, do you dock her for the bad country music that she sings, or is she still a 10?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you're fine with it.
Yeah.
You're fine with Dancing with the Stars.
Well, she's a dancer. What other show is she going to be on?
Yes.
My wife watches it, but when she's on, I'm watching it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Way hot.
Thank you for the call.
Now, she's way hot, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to explain this. She's a little plain for a really, really hot girl. In other words, you know, Megan Fox has got something special. Angelina Jolie's got something special. That little bit of exoticness, maybe. Mm-hmm. This chick is a little plain. Do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
Too generically.
Too generic, yeah.
All American.
I don't know who we're talking about, so it's hard for me to
Julian Huff, yeah. Too generic. All right, let's do one more before the break. Let's talk to Bobby in East L.A. He's on line four. This is another one that's a real possibility in my mind as well. Bobby, hi, you're on the Kevin DeBean Show. Who's a 10?
My pick is Rebecca Romijn.
I mean, personality, sense of humor, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Plays a dude. Plays a chick that used to be a dude. Isn't that the one? Is she on Ugly Betty?
Yes, on Ugly Betty, yes.
She plays a chick who used to be a dude.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. X-Men?
Yeah. Yes.
Pretty hot. Blue paint.
I mean, again, look at her and tell me if you were God and you could make a change on her, what would you change? I don't think there's anything you could improve upon on her.
Just another copy of?
Just clone her.
Just clone her. All right, we will take your calls 1-800-520-1067. 8 o'clock.
It's time to find out who is a 10. It's time to find out who's a perfect 10. Not only is she really hot, she'd be really, really great in bed. Hey, you'll even do her when she's dead.
That was not given to him by us. I just want to say up front.
Yeah, that's not the point of this at all. We were talking, if you're just joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show at 8:27, we were talking about how there are a lot of people who are reluctant to actually call a woman a 10. They've got 8s, they've got 9s, but there's no perfection in their life. And there has to be a 10, in our opinion, if you're going to have a scale at all. What do we do, before we go back to your phone calls, what do we do with K-Rock listener Christian from Valencia, Kevin, who says a perfect 10 should not include anything but looks? When you're walking down the street, you're checking out the opposite sex, you don't know anything about the personality, you need to judge them on that scale. Make it uniform across the board, looks only. Mm. You disagree, it sounds like.
Well, I think it has to be the whole package. I think it has to be, if it's going to be a 10, that's perfect. That means perfect looks, great personality. I think it's all involved.
So the only 10s that exist in the world probably are the ones that you don't know or the ones that you've just met, right? Because any woman that you get to know for a week, there's no way there's not something about her that you got to knock some points off, right?
Charlize, I give you Charlize.
Well, Charlize may be the exception to the rule.
Hey, Rob. Here's
Omar writes in, Scarlett Johansson is definitely a 10, but then you deduct her brains, you're left with a 2. So, I mean, I think you can see that the non-looks department can really hurt you.
See, that's why I don't think there's a 10.
There's guys. No 10? Well, then what's the scale for?
Because the 10 is like Plato's concept of the ideal,
right,
which is that everything that happens here on earth is sort of a reflection of a greater sort of perfection that exists almost like in heaven, beyond our grasp.
That's the 11.
That's what you attain. That's what you, you know, that's what you,
you
shoot for.
Okay.
You know? That is the goal that you put out there to everything else be measured against that perfection, but I don't think it's achievable. I don't. I think it's something you aspire to that you never quite get there.
But, I mean, you could compare this to, say, the ranking for Olympic events that they rate on a scale of 1 to 10. There is such thing as a 10. You can do a gymnastics routine that is a 10, and you compare the perfection of that 10 to everything else that may get a 9.1 or a 9.8 or whatever.
But you're trying to quantify something that can only be qualified. I mean, when it comes to attractiveness, everyone's got different tastes and stuff, so you'll never be able to come to a consensus. There's
no
technical measurement.
Right, but do you have a 10? You should have a 10 for Ralph.
For you, yeah, for
well,
the party
sure,
of one.
I do, but there's no consensus you can come to. I'm saying that's the problem with the idea of the 10. There's no one woman everyone can point to and say, yes, that's it, we've all achieved it.
Except for Charlize.
But you said, Bean, that you think her boob should
be bigger. Yeah, but he's high.
But she's still a 10, though.
But no, now you're going to start quibbling. There's like a 10
I'm just
plus
saying,
or a 10 minus.
No,
a mid-10.
I'm saying
10 has to be 10. If it's going to be 10, it's got to be, without question, it's got to be the 10.
There's no but. You can't say
you
but.
Can't qualify the 10.
Her butt is fantastic, though. Do you see the Cider House rules?
That's
my God.
What I'm saying. I'm saying that you can't have an exception. You can't say she's a 10 butt.
You can't say
why?
That. Because
why can't
she
be
the ideal?
But why can't she be perfect, but she could be
no,
even more
perfect?
No, there's
no perfect butt.
Wait a minute.
You don't
perfect.
Say, oh, I bowled a 300. I was bowling yesterday. I bowled a 300, but I missed a couple pins.
Sure could have done better.
No! That's it. That's the best you can get.
That's the definition of a 9, Bean. Is somebody that's perfect
but
except
she's a 10. All right, forget about me for a minute. Right. Ralph, who's your 10? We've heard from me. We've heard from Kevin. We've heard from Mike. Who's yours?
same two tens in my personal existence. Charlize is one for me. I think their boobs are perfect.
Me too.
And Playmate of the Year from a few years back at Victoria Silvstedt, who we've had in the show a bunch of times.
Yes.
She had the looks, she had the personality, she had the sense of humor, she had the sexuality, she had everything going for her that I personally would put into the category of a 10.
She's too much woman. She's too intimidating how sexy she is for me.
For you, that's the definition of a 10, isn't it?
No, but I mean,
considering we're ones.
Of course,
somebody is supposed to be overwhelming.
It should be. It should be.
But some of these other girls that we're talking about, like Rebecca Romijn, unbelievably hot, but approachable and easy. You could see it would be easy to hang out with her. Victoria, it would just be intimidating all the time because she looks like she's not real.
She would be super easy to hang out with.
Isn't that what you're shooting for? If something to be the ideal, it should be almost otherworldly.
Right, no, I don't think so.
You're a horrible person to have this conversation with.
Right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Doug and Tustin. Good morning, Doug.
Yeah, my perfect 10 is Marissa Miller.
Cover of Sports Illustrated?
Yes.
Sexiest woman in the world, according to which magazine, Ralph? Was it Maxim that just came out with their list?
I can't remember which one it was. I think it was Maxim. Yeah, it was Maxim.
She's a 9. I'll give you a 9.
See, she's a 9 for me, too.
She's got that face.
Yeah.
That drags her down. It's like a weight around her neck. Drags her down to a 9.
Yeah.
Well, it's a weight above her neck.
Right. Thank you for the call, Doug. I know Psycho Mike agrees with you. Let's go to Tony, who is calling from Buena Park. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Tony.
Perfect 10.
How about Selma Hayek?
There it is. That's a good
one. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Come on, that's way
But a 10's not pretty good, is it?
I mean, I look at Selma Hayek. At Selma Hayek, and I can't think of anything that I would move around or change on her. But to me, she doesn't seem like a 10.
This isn't what would you like to move around on her? And why would you have to move around anything?
Etch a sketch 10.
I'd like to put her ass on her stomach. Then I would be happy.
What I'm saying is, if a 10 is perfection, there's nothing you would change on her.
Selma Hayek.
I've seen her interview. She's a little sound down for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Sofia Vergara is my real true vote for a perfect. I can't really think of anything physically I would change about her. She doesn't speak English that well, so she probably wouldn't talk to me.
That's a plus. Would you put her in the time machine and send her back about 10 years?
But even the fact that she's got a 17-year-old kid, she still looks perfect. Yes. And I could make fun of her kid. He's old enough, like, it really hurt. I'd be like, railing your mom. Railing your mom so
he's
good.
Really thought this through.
That's Mike's 10. If he can cause some pain for someone emotionally along the way, that's when it becomes a 10 for him.
All right, what about Jeremy in Buena Park? He's on line 6. Who is a perfect 10 for you, Jeremy?
Adriana Lima, for sure. But she's also possibly a virgin. And that, like,
I like the possibly a virgin.
She insists that she is.
She says,
The rumor is that she's a virgin.
Yeah, she insists that she is publicly. She says she's saving it for marriage.
Hey, guys, you know what Mike is laughing about is our phone screener wrote she is Persian. Thinking that
she's a Persian virgin. That's right.
He said virgin. They thought he said Persian.
Yeah.
She's pretty strong. Mike, remember we had her in? Oh, she was so hot. Remember her?
No, Mike, I don't think you were in this.
Adriana Lima. We had her
Mike
in this.
Mike wasn't here. We sent him for breakfast that morning.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He got a speeding ticket on the way back.
That's right.
Ironically, with the Persian intern.
That's right.
She was a 10 until I heard your interview with her, and then she became a 9 for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Deanna Weider from Long Beach just won tickets for Batman The Dark Knight. Of course, opens up everywhere Friday. We got tickets for you all week long on The Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day here on the world-famous K-Rock.
You know how when certain people hear a certain color, they go crazy?
What do you mean?
Well, the word black, for example.
Oh.
Some people are
Their ears are perked up.
Maybe a little too sensitive about that word. I give you Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price.
Dallas County Commissioners were discussing problems with the Central Collections Office. You know, the way the tickets were being handled. Commissioner Kenneth Mayfield, who is white, said that it was like a black hole. These tickets were being lost. Well, Commissioner John Wiley Price, who is black, took offense to that, as did Judge Thomas Jones, who is also black. I spoke with Commissioner Price just a little while ago, and he says, you know, all too often the term black is used in a negative way.
I'm not kidding. This guy said,
why the hole got to be black?
Why does the hole have to be black?
Because it's a scientific term, and his reference was like the black hole in space. Things go into it and disappear, and they're never seen again.
But
that was the comparison he was making to the paperwork in the county system.
Right, but
why the hole got to be black?
Why does the hole have to be black? And then he interrupted the meeting and demanded an apology, and you can hear how well that went.
Could I get an apology
from the commissioner in this day and time, you don't sit around a table where you have diversity and refer to a black hole.
Well, sure I do. It's a terminology. It's science.
Yeah, well,
yeah, but it's science.
Science.
I would like.
You know it. I love those black folks.
An apology for your lack of education. And why the whole got to be black?
What is wrong with people? Honestly, that's a scientific term.
He must have no idea.
He has to know that's a scientific term.
I bet he doesn't.
It sounds like he's just exposing his own ignorance in this case. Look, I can understand if you want to argue. It's a lame argument. But if you want to argue, as he did later in an interview, why does the black sheep of the family have to be the bad one? At least I can understand that that's open to interpretation. Why is it a black sheep? I don't know the origin of the expression. But a black hole is a scientific term. It doesn't have anything to do with race at all. And he sounds like a retard.
And when you say black sheep, no one thinks you're talking about a black person.
Yeah, ever.
Exactly.
They get that.
Yeah.
By the way, the black sheep in my family is literally a black sheep, which I find interesting. The good news is that whenever we have a question like this about race, we have someone that we can go to that we know will always set us straight. And he is our friend Bruce Endicott, who is with the organization called Coffee. Mr. Endicott, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. We're sorry that the events of the day have driven us back to you, but make some sense of this, would you?
Well, I know you're not going to like this, but here at Coffee, which of course is the Caucasian organization for friendship enveloping everyone,
right,
we are reaching out to our black brothers.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but we have to side with the African-American gentleman on this particular issue.
You're not pointing out that it's a scientific term?
Well, it's easy for you, being white.
You're white.
To never have appreciated how degrading and how negative the term black has been used for centuries.
But it's a black hole. It doesn't have anything to do with race. It's black because that's the color of the center of that astronomical event.
I understand that. But you have to understand the sensitivity that is aroused by the use of black in any form. Because, look, you're lucky. You're white. White's better. But still, you don't know what it's like to have that being said over and over and over again in so many negative connotations that when you hear it used in any phrase, it automatically sets off a pain, an internal anguish that causes people to be upset. And we're trying to soothe that anger.
Bruce, do you think perhaps occasionally you go a little too far trying to soothe that anger?
I don't think so. Mm. I think it's look. Just look at the examples. Black magic, that's the evil magic, right?
Yeah.
The bad cowboys always wore black hats. You got the Black Death, which is the plague. You've got the black market, illegal trade of goods. You've got black lists, black ball when you're being ostracized from another group. You've got black male, black sheep, a black mark against you. You're in a black mood. A black-hearted person is mean and unthinking. It goes on and on and on, so you can't fault someone for being a little sensitive when they hear that.
But if somebody says, they're selling TVs on the black market, why would anyone interpret that as being a reflection on somebody's race? It doesn't have anything to do with it.
Of course it doesn't, but if you are a black person, you can't help but associate yourself to those terms.
I think there are a lot of people who can help that. That's
why we need to to avoid the confusion, we need to change the term.
Oh, no.
It'll be quite easier to stop using terms that relate to people's color of their skin, is what I'm saying. All of those terms need to go away.
Do we have to take away the color of black?
They're archaic, and they don't need to be in our language any longer. Instead of a black market, which is the negative connotation of something illegal going on, say, I bought it on the welfare market. Go a different direction. When someone is blacklisted, when they're ostracized from another group, they'll no longer be blacklisted. They'll be illegitimate children listed.
Oh, Bruce, come on! Not on
the color of the skin anymore.
That seems not good.
The black sheep of the family. Say the sheep that's really good at athletics.
Okay, Bruce, this isn't helping anybody. Come on.
It won't be black magic anymore. It'll be drug-using magic.
Bruce, what is wrong with you? That's not better.
And I mean this across the board. I think yellow, the connotation in yellow of someone being cowardly, that has to be offensive to our Asian-American friends.
Have you asked any of them?
I haven't, but I'm assuming. I'm speaking for them.
I see.
Let's face it, I'm white.
Right.
And I'm saying that we need to get rid of that phrase, yellow, mean cowardly. From now on, if a person is afraid to do something, we're just going to call them hungry for dog.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Come on.
Don't be hungry for dog. Bruce, go skydiving.
Bruce, that's not better.
Don't be good at math. Jump off that cliff into the ocean. Come on. And what about our Latino friends?
Yes.
What about them?
Do you think they enjoy hearing about brownouts? When you lose the electricity to your air conditioning, oh, it's a brownout.
But I don't think they think people are talking badly about
Why
them.
Why does it have to be brown? Let's get away from focusing on the color of the skin. When your electricity disappears, you say, oh, look, we're having a selling fruit on the street corner out. We're having a Home Depot parking lot out.
Come on, isn't that worse?
Let's not focus on the color of the skin is what I'm saying. Let's look deeper.
What does coffee stand for again, Bruce?
Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
And how's that going for you? Pretty well?
I'm white. I don't care.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. Ralph, what are they talking about in Hollywood?
Talking about how much money Hellboy 2, the Golden Army, made over the weekend. Made $36 million in its debut weekend. Pretty good. Not great, but pretty good.
Pretty happy for our friend Guillermo del Toro. He's the kind of guy that you meet and you like so much, you want to see success happen for him.
I think he's going to be successful for many years to come. They're already talking about Hellboy 3 in another 12 years or something.
After he finishes after he does The Hobbit.
Yeah, he's going to be wrapped up with The Hobbit for a while. Hancock number 2 at the box office. Unreal. $33 million made this weekend. Journey to the Center of the Earth, both in 3D and without, $20.6 million in its debut. WALL-E was number 4. Wanted, Get Smart and Meet Dave, Kung Fu Panda, Kit Ridge and American Girl, and Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. It's a boy and a girl and a donkey for Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. No, I'm just kidding. Knox Leon is the name of the boy.
Knox Leon.
Knox Leon on the ceiling if you want me.
I don't get that.
Oh. He's from your old pal Tony Orlando.
I don't know that person.
He's the boy. Vivian Marceline is the girl.
She wins. She wins the name battle.
Well, Vivian is a pretty name. And Marceline, of course, Angelita's mom, who passed away recently. That's where the middle name comes from. They're here. They're queer. Get used to them.
Will they stop now that they have six children?
Oh, no. Brad at 44 years old, Angelina at 34, say they're both not done having kids yet. They've only got the six, three of them biological, three of them non-biological.
Are they taking care of them, too, or are they just having them?
They're just having them. They have a staff.
That seems like a lot.
They have a team.
Six kids.
Why is six not enough for any couple?
I think eight is enough.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
You're on fire.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, I'm rested. You know, I had a whole weekend. I recharged my batteries.
Here's a little news flash. It's not funny.
Sad news for Michael Bublé. He has lost actress Emily Blunt, who I think is just adorable.
Oh, yeah.
They've been dating for 3 years, and apparently it's all over. Michael Bublé's publicist, Liz Rosenberg, says, yes, it's true, they have parted ways, but here's my favorite part. They are both extraordinary people with huge talent.
Yes.
And they continue to be the best of friends.
Yes, they do.
Suck it.
I wish we, the non-celebrities, could do that as well, but we seem not to be able to do that.
Only celebrities have the power to maintain good relationships with everyone that they date.
Let's break up, and both of us are going to be happier than we ever were before. And we're going to hang out a lot.
I think she woke up one day and said, he's Michael Bublé.
Probably.
Emily Blunt Bublé.
Yeah, there's no way of taking that name.
Do you guys not like him?
I give her the Emily Blunt Bublé the other day.
I am I'm a fan of his. You guys not to care
I
for his work?
No, actually, who he is.
He kind of does like jazz music, doesn't he?
You know, if
he's like a Harry Connick.
If Harry Connick Jr. was the poor man's Frank Sinatra, Michael Bublé is the poor man's Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, okay. I really have a feeling.
It's like
on
a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox of something that was good at one time, and now it's just sort of blurry and just kind of disposable. So yeah, I'm a fan.
Okay.
So hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
Can somebody just pull the camera and the cell phone away from Miley Cyrus? Of course, she gets herself into more trouble. For like the fourth go-around in the past couple months, there's another set of racy photos on the internet featuring Miley.
Thank God.
One, she's got her shirt pulled up to her boobs, blowing a kiss to the camera, and another one, probably the most, racy picture yet. She is taking a shower with just a t-shirt on.
Do you mind if I photograph you in the nude?
Why she get a copy of that?
Easy. Why she showers with a t-shirt on? No one quite knows. But
were these all taken at the same time? And
there's no way to tell. Apparently, someone hacked into her cell phone. At least that's what the person who posted the photos says. And he put them up on the internet.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. She's showing her back to the camera in the t-shirt shower picture, but still.
Wow.
It's easy. Easy. There's no need for that. So, but
your body makes me hot.
She can't get out of her own way with these photographs that keep popping up.
She could wait a couple of years.
Maybe. There's some speculation that just maybe she's desperate to get out of her Disney contract. She's trying the best she can to sort of queer that deal. So.
Well, she's queer.
No, just a phrase.
What are you going to do for 69?
Oh,
what
come
does that
on.
Mean, Mary?
God.
Wow. I don't even understand that.
I don't even know what that means. And Hugh Hefner may be down a girlfriend.
Oh, no. He's only got two?
Yeah.
He's wow. a court low?
The New York Post reports that Kendra Wilkinson may be leaving the Playboy Mansion because she's having a tough time sticking to Hef's house rules. You know, he's got the house rules.
Very strict.
What are they? Like, don't have parties? Yeah.
There's a curfew. You got to be home by 11 o'clock if you're not out with him.
Right.
Really?
No dating other dudes while you're on the Hef tip.
Oh,
and so she's fed up.
She's done.
Yeah, so it'll just be Holly and Bridget, and Kendra will be booted off the premises,
off the island. She got voted off the mansion.
Even though it's great to live in that style of luxury, and if you're 20 something years old, eventually you're going to get tired of that. You're going to want to be out with your own friends and keeping your own hours, right?
Absolutely,
I would think so. Yeah.
Here's the interesting part. Word is the producers of The Girls Next Door, the show on E, needed a third girlfriend, and so they cast her amongst the other playmates. They found the best one to fit in there and cast her as the third playmate.
So she wasn't?
That's the rumor. There's no way to really know for sure, but they're saying that's the reason she's sort of leaving so easily, because there never really was a connection between her and Hef, unlike the other two girls that have actually had a relationship with him.
So I gotcha.
She may not be riding the H train. You know what I'm saying?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I know we've talked about this before, but every time a Hefner girlfriend story comes up, I have to think what it's like to be one of these young women. No matter how in awe you are of the fact that he's Hugh Hefner and you're at the Playboy Mansion, when he takes off his clothes, you have to think, ooh, right? There's no way you're excited or interested by that.
We think the same thing about your wife, Donna, every time we talk about her.
Probably true, yeah.
And yet she remains with you for less reasons than they have to remain with Hefner.
That's correct.
By the way.
That is correct.
But these girls, they just close their eyes and think of England. I mean, there's nothing else they can do, right?
Supposed to Donna closes her eyes and thinks of just sweet, sweet death. just the release. Just take me now, Lord. Just get this giant behemoth off me.
It's all 69.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Vincent Pastore. You know him as Big Pussy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sopranos, 62 years old today. Kyle Gass, KG, from Tenacious D, turns 48 years old today. Matthew Fox, from Lost and Party of Five, is 42. Taboo, from Black Eyed Peas. Tattoo.
Oh, why has it got to be Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, because.
Why the whole got to be black?
I don't know. I don't know, Maya Angelou. Will you tell me?
Why the whole got to be black?
Taboo celebrates not only his birthday today, but he got married over the weekend, so he's got a lot
black
to
hole.
23 years old today.
Why the hole got to be black?
And Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 26 years old today.
Come on. Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what that is for Kevin? It's like doing porn earlier in your career if you're an actor or something. That's the dirty little secret. It keeps, once a year, it comes back and haunts Kevin again.
You know what changed my mind on that whole thing? Honestly, was Ralph saying, you don't like any of these people. And I realized he's right.
And you just have to be so cheery and excited every time you say their names.
Yeah.
So I talked you out of the Grammy gig?
You did, actually.
Oh,
it's not that they
now.
Came begging, but I wasn't going to do it.
They also didn't
offer you the job this year. Was that part of your decision to turn it down?
Nope.
No?
I actually made the decision ahead of time, and they were wise to follow.
I see. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have, you're not aware of this beam, but we have Sam the Armenian Comedian on the phone.
Why?
Because he's good. Good morning, Sam.
What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, I've been having a lot of phone calls by the cellular phone, and you're going to pay my bill, Kevin. Why you give it on the air? Did you have my permission?
I believe you gave it on the air, my friend.
Yes, you did.
No, 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 no.
Let me just double check. Is it 818-843?
That's the one, my home number.
4013, is it that one?
No.
That's not it?
No.
All right, which one are you talking about then?
795-0076. It's my cellular phone. People been calling me.
Wait a minute. So it's 81.
I'm having my minutes being counted down, and I'm having a bill. You're going to pay for it, Kevin.
I'm not positive which one you're talking about, Sam. Is it that's the 795-0076 number?
Yeah, that's my cellular phone.
Your cellular phone.
Get out of the way, man. You know, the whole weekend I had to cancel my phone.
You had to what? Mm. Cancel it?
Yes.
Do you have a new number yet?
No.
All right, let us know when you get it so we can give it out.
Kevin, you're paying my bill.
Absolutely. Send it on over.
Kevin and Bean, you're paying my bill.
Right. Got it.
Because
I... Well, wait a minute, Sam. Which one are we paying? Is it the 843-4013?
No.
It isn't. It's the 795-0076.
Huh?
All right. Just want to clarify.
Listen.
818 area code.
No.
No, not the 818... So confused.
Sam, what are people saying when they call you? What kinds of conversations have you been having with our listeners?
They love me and they hate me at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's us, too.
Yeah.
But we love you a lot lately, Sam. I mean, we're big fans. You've been on fire.
Why kind of love? Okay. Why are you giving my cellular phone on the air? Everybody,
first of all, it's not a celery phone. It's never been a celery phone. It's just a cell phone. Cell.
I know, okay. But my minutes are... being cut down.
Sam,
well,
the minutes...
you shouldn't talk so much then.
The minutes on 818-795-0076.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll stop giving that out.
Okay. Well, who's going to... if I have a lot of bills, you guys going to end up paying for it.
We're going to pay all your bills, Sam. That's going to happen. Yes. Send them all over.
Thank you, Kevin.
To lightning@krock.com.
Lightning?
Yep. He's our bill payer.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's not.
No, he is.
Well, it's up to you then. If you don't want it paid, don't send it to him.
He doesn't work for you guys.
He does. He works.
Of course he does.
He's still on the station.
What is wrong with you, Sam?
Yeah, I'll have you got to trust us on this.
I'll have him call you back. You want me to have him call you back at 818-843-4013 or the 0076 number?
No, none of them.
None of them. You don't want him to call you back?
No.
Well, how's he supposed to pay your bills?
You guys paying for it.
All right. We'll call you back. Which number?
843-4013, that's okay, but don't give my cellular phone number.
So you're saying, wait a minute, you're saying it's all right if your home phone number is given out.
It's the minutes on his celery phone.
Just not your celery phone.
That's what he's worried about. Okay, we got it, Tim. All right, thanks for calling, dude. We got to go.
Hey, another thing.
Yeah.
I want to tell a joke about elections.
We would love that, and yet we got to move on.
Okay. I tell you what, that joke, and I'm going to hang up.
Okay, all right.
Don't vote Obama banana because he's made the black cops after my ass.
Well done.
And then,
another flawless performance.
Not in then. Got to go.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Here's how it works. You call us, 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number here at K-Rock. Get on the air, get a prize today. It's a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. We're talking about Michael Jackson a minute ago.
Not funny.
Oh, that's the wrong button. We're talking about Michael Jackson a minute ago. If I move my cursor up one, I'll hit this one. And let's talk to Adam in Long Beach, who had a personal experience with Michael Jackson. Hey, Adam, what'd it do?
Hey, what'd it be, G? Hey, yeah, so I used to live up in San Luis Obispo, and I was working at the Best Buy up there.
Best Buy?
Yeah, Best Buy. And about 2003, we get a phone call one afternoon saying Michael Jackson's going to come in the store, and we got to have some special preparations, meaning we got to clear all the customers out of the store.
Oh, man.
So we get customers all out of the store, and then, you know, we're all hanging around. All of a sudden, this frail, pathetic, ghostly figure in a wheelchair is being shuttled around the store.
Wait a minute. This was 5 years ago he was using a wheelchair?
Yes. This was about 2003.
Huh.
And so he ended up dropping about $20,000.
on various CDs and boomboxes and things. I guess he was going to some children's event or something.
Hey,
and
every night a children's event with Michael.
How do you spend
some bait?
How do you spend $20,000 at a Best Buy?
He was only in there for about an hour and a half, and about $20,000 he dropped.
Wow.
Yeah. And the kicker was to not draw too much attention to himself. The girl pushing him around was dressed in like a 1950s sort of nursey outfit, you know, with like the big red X on it.
Really?
Wow.
Oh yeah. It was.
Did you or any of the other employees at the store interact with Michael at all? Did you guys talk to him?
No, he didn't talk to anybody. You only were allowed to talk to the nurse, apparently.
That's fantastic. We're
allowed to talk to the nurse.
What a cartoon.
This was 5 years ago he was a cartoon. What's he now? Shut up, Mike.
Right, so he just gets wheeled around and just points to stuff, and one of his lackeys picks it up and puts it in the cart, I guess.
That's exactly what happened. And I worked in the computer department, so he didn't stop through my area. But yeah, it was a moment to remember, that's for sure.
That's pretty fantastic. Weird.
Thank you, Adam.
All right. Thank you for the call. That's a great story. Wow, we got some outstanding calls today. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go to Nick in La Crescenta. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, guys. It's happening.
What's happening, Nick?
Hey, Nick.
I got great news today. I have such great news. I have something ready to show you screenplay-wise.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you got laid.
This is better than that for me.
This is better than
you
getting laid.
Problem, Nick, right there.
The first time I heard, this is the window licker, Nick, the sign holder at the cell phone store that we love. The first time I ever heard about his screenplay was last season, Kevin, wasn't it? At the Dodger Day, Nick came up to us and started telling us about his screenplay. And we feigned interest and listened to him rolling our eyes for about 20 minutes. I never did really understand what the point of the story was. But it sounds like now you have actually at least finished part of the screenplay and you're ready for us to read it.
Yeah, I am. I have more of a better idea what the story is now. It's changed a lot in the past year since I talked about it, like at the Dodger game a year ago.
Did it concern you that neither Bean nor I, after a half an hour, had any idea what your movie was about?
Well, I was stoned at the time.
Yes.
I'm clean right now, so I can better explain it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the pitch? If we were the Hollywood movie studio that was meeting you, thinking about picking up your screenplay option to make a film, how would you pitch it to us in, you know, about 20 seconds or so?
Okay, it's about a hot blonde girl, a Chen, in a rainforest who falls in love, interacts with lots of animals, and fights evil.
Okay,
that's it. That's what happened.
All right.
Sounds good.
Hot blonde fighting evil in a rainforest?
How much evil is in the rainforest?
It takes place in a rainforest. I've always had a fascination with rainforests.
But how much evil?
Battle tree frogs?
What's there for her to battle?
There are frogs in it. There are frogs in it, yeah.
Oh, God, this blows.
No, this is going
to
be great.
This does not blow, Ralph. I swear to God, this is going to be great.
This is going to be 100 million plus first weekend.
Yes, it's about a hot blonde girl. She has lots of sex.
Yeah, well, that's what porn's for, Nick.
Alex.
I don't need to go to the rainforest to watch that.
Yes, Ralph. This is really top class porn, Ben.
What is your advice for Nick and for other young screenwriters out there who have a manuscript now? What's the best advice you can give them on how to proceed, Ralph?
Write what you know. Write a screenplay about a dude who can't get laid, who reads a lot of comic books, and is just really desperate and smokes a lot of pot.
And went to Tijuana to get a hooker. And then turned his back on sex altogether.
That's your story right there.
That's
your story.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like this better.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
That's a good choice. Will we read it if Nick brings it over?
Who's we?
You?
Look, someone's going to like this.
Bean will read it. Bean will read it and he'll let us know.
Bean makes a solemn promise that he will read it. He is a reader.
Bean promises he'll read it.
That's correct.
All right, Nick. Yeah. I'll read it. Send it over to K-Rock, attention, the King of Mexico, and he'll send it up to me, okay?
Send it then, as an attachment, right?
Sure.
Yeah, just email it to me.
That's fine.
I didn't
know it was available in the email. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you can just email it right to me.
Newfangled.
Well, I just
give people some documents they can
He makes it sound like it's 200 pages long. I don't really want a 200-page attachment. That's all I'm saying. All right, thanks for the call, Dan.
Armenian comedian's wife?
Yes.
Oh.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Julie. Hi.
How are you, my dear?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you guys?
We are good.
Great. What can we do for you?
What's my complaint?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Sam, he gave it the phone number to you.
He did, yes.
Or you guys did it?
Many times. Oh, he gave it to us, and we did both.
Okay, how about his cell phone number?
Gave it?
Yeah.
Okay, when I asked him, he says, no, I didn't. So I start fighting, argue with him, and he went crazy, and I didn't have no choice all day calling. I have to call the Spring and cancel his phone. And here in the morning, 5:30 start calling, and some of them, they're cursing, and I'm getting upset. Could you imagine, you married, you know, you have to sleep, and people calling, you know, it's bothering me. I told them, what do you did? He says, I didn't do it. They did it. I told them, stop right there. They're not smart, educated. They're not going to put your home number on the air.
He put home, sell, home, sell, home, sell, home, sell, home, sell, home, sell is what he did.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I probably egged him on a bit, knowing how stupid he was.
I think he gave out his home number. I think you gave out his cell.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
He gave out both.
I don't remember him giving out the cell number. I remember you giving out the cell. I remember him giving out the home.
Well, now I feel bad, Julie, but isn't the bigger question, how did you choose Sam all those years ago?
Tell me, that was a mistake.
At least that's something we can all agree on.
All right, so you want us to not give out those numbers anymore. That's what you're calling to ask.
Yes, please. And plus...
Which ones?
You know, I'm working, I'm paying all the bills. You know, cell phone is going to go very high.
Yeah.
So I did ask them, if you do otherwise, when I call company, they says you can't file. So I said, no, Kerak is a good company.
Right.
And there are your friends, you know, many years. I don't want to do that.
No.
I'm a nice lady. I'm not
you are nice.
Like he.
Hey, Julie, let me ask you this question, not to split hairs, but why does Sam spend so much time on his cell phone talking to the people that call his cell phone? If he doesn't want to run up minutes, why doesn't he either not answer the phone, or once he finds out that it's not a personal call, just hang up on him?
He's a little crazy. You know that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
In the meantime, he's stupid and crazy. You know that very well.
Right, but how do you expect us to control him?
Well,
you're his wife.
You have to put him some line and leash.
Put him on a leash?
On a leash. Good idea.
Yeah, that's what I do 29 years. You think so it's easy to live with him?
No, I can't imagine it's easy to
look. You are a saint. Yeah, you are a woman that we have long, long admired because you made a very poor choice in your life, yet you did not back away from it. You continue to live your life, and we respect you for that.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
Julie,
you.
One other thing. We'd like to take a call from Steve in La Puente. Good morning, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Steve?
I don't know what that noise is. Scares me.
Not good.
He wanted Sam's cell phone number, but
we're not going to get that out.
We can't.
We're done with that.
All right. All right, Julie. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for calling, my dear.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Because I remember you're going to give out his home number, and then Mike said he's got kids and family stuff.
Right.
Let's not do that. So you, Kevin, said, "Okay, give me the cell number. We'll give that out."
I do remember that.
That's
Sam
all that
has
that
always
happened. That happened.
But Sam has always encouraged that.
He has.
Let's be honest. He loves to
past.
Get called at home.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think now that's costing him money, he has changed his mind about taking phone calls at home.
His cell phone bill would be through the roof just based on the calls he makes to Lightning and I alone.
Yeah, that's true.
He calls us each, and I'm not kidding. This is an exaggeration. At least 10 times a day, each of us.
Well, he's got business with you guys.
He does.
That's why. It's important business.
Look, the answer is, guys, we don't give out those numbers on the air anymore. We just put it at KRock.com. I mean, clearly, that's what needs to be done.
I think you're missing the point.
For her sake, we should choose not to do that.
I think
I want to thank our special guest, Gerard Way, for joining us.
No way.
Yeah, Gerard Way.
Wasn't funny the first time? Not funny now?
No way.
Not funny. Not good.
He, of course, is the leader of My Chemical Romance. The Black Parade is Dead is their latest CD-DVD combo in stores now. And he is the creator of the Dark Horse comic known as The Umbrella Academy, issues 1-6, now available in a special box set. You can see him at Comic-Con. You going out of Comic-Con this year, Ralph?
I will not be able to make it this year. Nope.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Vegas instead.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's going to break your heart. But anyway, so you can go down there and see him speak and meet him, get an autograph, the whole deal. Very cool guy. Enjoyed having him in this morning.
Also, thanks to Bruce Endicott.
Well, the whole got to be black.
Right. Let's talk about tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? We got a new crop of internet roundup for you.
It's like Ruby D.
We got Psycho Body tomorrow. We got to tell you about Bean, the cheapest man alive, and his new obsession with spending money needlessly.
Oh, boy.
It's really
I'm
odd.
How can you not do it?
I'm not a cheap guy either, by the way.
You are way cheap.
You're the cheapest person any of us have ever met.
You are a skinflint.
Will you drive from store to store looking for a lower price on a CD?
Well, I mean, I have a price that I think is a fair price that I'd like to pay, yes.
And if one store has it for, say, 10 cents more, will you just bite the bullet and buy it? Or do you leave that store and drive to another store?
Well, for 10 cents, I wouldn't.
Cheapest
I mean, if it's a dollar, if it's a dollar, it makes a big difference.
In New York City, did you not ask once from a guy selling newspapers on the street for a receipt for a 35-cent paper so you could write it off your taxes?
regularly.
Back then, yeah. I did think that I was going to be the kind of guy organized enough to put those receipts together and turn them in. In fact, I never did, so I don't even ask for those receipts anymore.
By the way, but you said if it's a dollar, it makes a big difference. Wouldn't you spend vastly more money on gas going to another store?
Yes, we've had this argument with him already.
But I go to those stores anyway, though. I mean, I'm going to go to Target every week. I'm going to go to Best Buy every week anyway, so it's not that big a deal to buy it in one rather than the other. That's all I'm saying.
That's why
really
it's so odd. That's why it's so odd that you're a sucker. Bean is going to try and help a guy get money out of Namibia or wherever that is. I don't know where that scam is happening. But Kevin and Bean the Porn tomorrow.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
What now?
Bean is cheap.
What the hey now? No. Something about Kevin and Bean the Porn.
Yeah, Kevin and Bean the Porn. Tomorrow.
I don't know if I want to see any. I don't want the same sentence. I don't want Kevin and Bean the Porn in the same room. I don't want
to. Yeah, Eric.
Cucamonga meat.
I agree.
Cucamonga meat is happening.
The beautiful Cat Corbett is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. The Killers are going to be part of that. Also, some vintage Blink-182. We got the new one from Disturbed, Foo Fighters, Rancid, and more coming up right after.